If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, this is Tyra Banks. Bean and I can't come to the phone right now, so leave a message for us at the tone, and we'll get back to you later. Bye.
Oh, Bean. Oh, Bean. Yeah, Bean. Oh, God, Bean.
Oh, my God. Out of my throat. With a knife I throat. Out of my throat.
Maybe when you find out that I'm dead, you'll realize what you did.
No! Never out! Let I go!
It was just stupid.
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is...
black.
You know it. I love those black folks.
What kind of is this?
It's the best, man. I got it from a Negro.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana's bad, okay?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight.
Roll. Roll another one.
Munchies.
Just like the other one.
Who wants some munchies?
This one seems to be about. I don't have another cent.
I love pot.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. But just pass it on down.
And now.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No, 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 no. Jack, no, I'm not. I pass on grass.
Our feature presentation.
Them. Oh. Those son of a cut me off. They said I couldn't sing. They said I was perfect for juggling, could dance. Paula, oh my gosh, she was just so rude. In her face from me. I could tell they hated me.
Don't cry.
They were on the guy I tried to fight back and everything. I've never been so insulted in my life. They said, I sum up Minneapolis. They say Minneapolis is a no town because of me.
Oh,
no way.
Jason, you're 16 years old.
Jason, you're 16, you got a lot.
16 years old, I wanted to start out famous. They blew me up.
You'll be famous. You're gonna be famous. You are. Hey?
Hey, she's right. He is famous now.
That's true.
If he got beat up at school before, which we're all guessing he did.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going back to school after that airs?
Oh, he's dead now. There's no question.
He's
dead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's dead.
Seriously. But after a long, drawn-out beating. I mean, seriously.
We hope so, yeah.
If people I went to high school with had that on me,
yeah, you really would be dead.
I would put that on.
Where could you go?
You'd
it's not like you could go to another school. Everyone's seen this.
Yeah, but you could deny it was you or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure this guy, because of who he is, told everybody in the school 100 times he was going to go try it for American Idol. I'm sure he did. And that'd be bad. If I were in his class, I think I would change every single person in the class, maybe in the school's ringtone, to be that.
Oh my God.
So you'd be sitting there, you know, at lunch or whatever, and he'd be crying all over the room. That'd be awesome. My God.
That is evil.
Yes.
Well, but funny.
Very funny.
There's no way to put audio on a ringtone, Kevin. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's true.
We found that out.
One thing we've learned from the K-Rock website is that can't be done. No. Doesn't matter that other people do it, it cannot be done.
It seems like everyone else does it.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, it sure does.
And yet we're being told just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Can't do
well,
it.
Well, it's not like we don't have a lot of requests from people to do it. It's not like it's not a priority for many of our listeners. It's not like it's that's not happening.
Well, my favorite thing is that we went on the air and we promised them it was coming any day.
Yes.
That was my favorite.
A year and a half ago. Yeah, exactly.
And then, not happening.
They know to take us with a grain of salt, don't you think?
You would think by now they would, yeah. I would certainly
hope. Really have to have learned that lesson.
Yeah.
It's unintentional, folks, but we are, in fact, lying liars who lie.
That's true.
I mean, the truth is, when you said it, I didn't believe you.
Well, you shouldn't.
I was sitting right here.
No, you really...
Wow.
That's probably a good policy.
Not even Lisa believed
nope.
it.
You should double-check everything you hear that comes out of this radio station.
I was thinking he is so full of crap.
You need like three or four other sources before you should actually start trusting it.
I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. All right, good morning, everybody. Kevin Abicho here. It is Friday. It's the 19th of January.
May I please have the origin?
Ooh, wow. Seems like a strange sound effect for that.
Trying to think of how that works in to the vagina.
All right, try it again.
Okay, take two. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean here. It's Friday morning, the 19th of January.
Any alternate pronunciations?
Oh, this kid is not going to let you go, man.
Wow.
No, vagina is the only way I know how to say it.
Vaginuary.
May I please have the definition again?
Was there a new one? Was there a new spelling bee on, or are you just still obsessed with that guy?
Let us get on with it. Vaginuary.
Can I please have the etymology?
Yeah. All right. I'll give you the
what that means.
Etymology right here.
Yeah. Vaginuary.
Any alternate definitions?
Vagina. 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 Vagina.
There
it is.
Now we're set. Okay. That's a good deal. Hey, according to the new meeting yesterday, Lisa, we're now officially done. We have to stop talking.
What?
Shh. We have to stop talking. We're now done.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
But fast.
But really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny because 2 days ago we had a meeting, which we'll tell you about today. It's the Why We Suck, the meeting.
Yeah.
And there were 5,000 suggestions of stuff we should do, better stuff. We should do this. This would be much better than what you're doing. Why don't you do this? Right. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I was thinking at the time, we can't stay on time the way it is now. Where are we getting this time from?
To do all these things.
So then yesterday we got called into the office again. Wow. 2 days in a row, by the way, which is BS. It's against the UN charter or whatever.
I didn't hear what that was about yesterday.
It's practically Guantanamo around here lately. It really is. I mean, today they're calling us in to waterboard us. I mean, there's no... it's awful what they're doing.
And we don't have any information.
What happened yesterday?
And we got called in the office.
Yeah.
And Bean
told to shut the F up. That's what we were told.
Yeah. And Bean said, well, you look serious. I am serious. I was wearing a wire, but it didn't work out, by the way.
Oh, damn it.
Oh.
Did he catch you?
No.
No.
Because it was kind of obvious.
I had like a little mini lapel mic that was just hanging out of my shirt. And it wasn't even attached to it. He didn't even see it.
It wasn't attached.
No, it was just hanging there.
So retarded.
Well, because he was too busy schooling us to worry about what you were wearing because he was too busy telling us how to do our job.
That's enough. Stop talking.
What?
Okay, we're done.
This morning's Kevin Abicho. J-Lo's ass. We must check in with.
I have a message for Mr. Weatherby.
Okay.
Nobody listens to your show for the music.
Well, you're wrong.
I don't know if you've heard the commercial on our station for the Glow After Dark.
Oh, how can
my
you miss
Lord.
It?
Yes.
Slip into that fragrance. And if you'd like
you
to be a part
glow.
Of the if you'd like to be a part of the webisode, show up at Macy's.
Ooh.
And show us how you glow. I don't even know what the hell she's talking about.
I don't have any idea. What's the audition? You just stand there and they put a light on you?
Hi, this is Jennifer Lopez, and I'm inviting you to get into a whole new way to glow. It's Glow After Dark, my wild, sexy, breathless new fragrance. Made for girls like you who come out to play when the sun goes down and the music gets turned way up.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead, get the party started, slip into my new fragrance, Glow After Dark. Do you have what it takes to be a glow girl?
Yes.
Come down to Macy's at the Stonewood Center in Downey on January 20th to audition for the online reality webisode, The Glow After Dark Show.
Tomorrow.
This exclusive event is the only opportunity to audition live for this wild, sexy, and breathless new online reality experience. Open to the first 100 registrants who will also receive a free Glow After Dark gift.
Oh.
Come out to show the world how you glow. Registration begins at 10 a.m. and auditions begin at noon. Complete official rules available at Macy's on January 20th or at glowafterdarkshow.com.
I don't know what you're supposed to do when you go down to audition. You just stand there and glow?
Yes, you're supposed to show the world how you glow.
Well, how is that how interesting is that as a webisode?
Who watches a webisode?
Well, a reality webisode.
Yeah,
apparently there's going to be a bunch of them.
I don't understand. Maybe we can call that store if this thing is happening at that store tomorrow. Let's call them and find out.
And Downey, like they would know, but we could give it a try.
Just saying.
Her scent is breathless. I don't know how that is.
I think you need to breathe. But
as is the webisode.
Me.
It's a breathless new webisode. There's no breath in that. You can't breathe. Okay. So anyway, we got to follow up on that and find out what in God's name is going on.
Yeah.
Also on today's show, we have the Movie Beat. It's Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until you hear the slate of movies that comes out today.
Really? Oh, that's surprising in January.
Too many. What,
I swear, most of the time there's 6 to 9, kind of, depending on how many little movies come out. It's crazy the amount of movies that are coming out today. Also on the show today, we're going to talk to Zachary Quinto, I think. Mm-hmm. That's his name.
Yep. Yes.
He's the guy who plays Siler on Heroes.
Ooh.
Which comes back on Monday. He will eat your brain. So
yes, he will.
That's why we're only having him on the phone.
Probably wise.
We're going to give you highlights of the Why We Suck the Meeting. We'll give you highlights of that today.
Part one, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard this commercial, but we're also playing a commercial from the Food Network. And I don't watch the Food Network, so I have no idea what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow there's a dude who's like I don't know, he's the Henry Rollins of the Food Network.
Really?
He's the ace of cakes. He's the bad boy of baking. The bad boy of baking.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what they call him. Yeah.
The hit reality show starring the bad boy of baking is back. Season 2 of Ace of Cakes premieres Thursday night, January 18th at 10:30 on Food Network Nighttime. Way more than cooking.
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't know it was a reality show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's the ace of cakes. He's the bad boy of baking. He'll bake that cake like a mother effer, that guy. So anyway, we'll talk about that today.
Okay.
If you missed the interview with Sophia Bush yesterday. First of all, shame on you. And second of all, I got some great highlights after 6 o'clock. Bean was in rare form yesterday. And for Bean, that's saying something.
We do need to talk about this.
So we'll get into that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And
I thought it went very well with her.
I know you do. There is one last chance for you to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2007 Destination Number 3. Between now and then, you get a chance to qualify. And we are going to send somebody to Muse in Hong Kong. That's the grand prize drawing that we're doing at 7:15 this morning.
Great.
So one last chance for you to qualify. And Ralph Showbiz Beat is coming up next.
Woo!
Hurry, no time for time checks.
What's coming up in the music log? What do we got coming up, looking forward to? What are we looking forward to here?
I don't have the music log around.
I want to know, what's the next
Levert
song? Levert's coming up next?
No, System of a Down.
System of a Down. Let's get this BS comedy out of the way so we can hear some System of a Down. What do you say?
Get right to it.
I'm all about the
music. Time.
That's me.
Ralph, that's why people listen, Ralph.
That's right. More details coming out about Lindsay Lohan and why she went into rehab. This is good stuff, by the way.
Ooh, go ahead.
Here's the thing. You know she went into the hospital for an appendectomy?
Yeah.
And you can't see me now because I'm doing air quotes.
Right.
Right.
According to sources on the internet, and this is all allegedly, let's just put that out there. This is all rumor, hearsay, and falderall.
Okay. Don't know that last word, but okay.
The medication that they gave Lindsay when she left the hospital was painkillers.
Right.
Because she had pain from her appendectomy.
Sure. Okay.
So you know the best thing to do with painkillers, wash them down with some vodka.
Yeah, you need to chase her.
Right, to double up that cool feeling you get.
Right.
So apparently she's been more of a train wreck than usual. And above and beyond, passing out in the hallway of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel after the Golden Globes when she went to Prince's party.
Right.
Linz has apparently been missing days on her new movie.
Uh-oh.
That she's been filming, a thriller called I Know Who Killed Me. So the absences from the set started to cheese off the producers of the movie, who decided that action needed to be taken. Remember when James Robinson from Morgan Creek wrote her that strongly worded letter that
certainly
got leaked to the world?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this time, the producers said more than a letter needs to be done. So they held an on-set intervention with her and her handlers.
No kidding.
And said, you get your act together, or you will be sued to the tune of $3 to $5 million.
Wow.
So Lindsay was, in essence, forced to admit herself into rehab.
Well, that always works.
At the Wonderland Center. That's what my point of the story is. When someone's forcing you to go into rehab, but it's not your choice, it's not something you want to do,
right?
The odds of it sticking are much less.
Pretty slim.
I thought she was being proactive.
Insiders say she'd much rather be at Hyde tonight than she would be checking into the Wonderland Center.
Sure, of course.
Ralph, I heard yesterday, and please confirm or deny, that it's a 3-day rehab.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is she's got a day pass to work during the day, but when she's finished work, they have to drive her right from the set back to the Wonderland Center again, where she spends her nights. Wow. Doesn't say how long she's admitted for.
Her PR guy made this statement.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Yes, she does.
That's what she's saying.
But here's my favorite part of the whole story, and this is the real deal. This is the press release from Dina Loewen, her delusional mother,
okay,
who's also her manager, okay? The quite repulsive and deeply in denial Lindsay Loewen's mother, okay? I'm so proud of her, Dina Loewen said. She's really in a good place right now, spiritually and mentally. She's in an amazing, phenomenal place. She's 20, and she's solid, and she's doing what she needs to do. I don't know that many people who are secure, who are that secure. It's all about her getting back on track. She's fine. She's amazingly fine.
That's great.
Dina Loewen later added, things are going really well in Iraq, too.
What in God's name does she think?
You know, I saw some video of Lindsay.
I would be devastated if my child at 20 years old had to go into a rehab for drugs and alcohol. Devastated.
Yeah.
The last thing I would do is say, oh, she's in such a good place. She's amazingly fine.
Solid as a rock.
You know who's amazingly fine? A kid right now is getting straight A's someplace in some high school in Orange County who's on the track team and has a scholarship to a college. That kid's amazingly fine.
That's right.
Kid in rehab, not so fine.
That's a good point. You know, I saw some video of her after the Golden Globes that night before she allegedly collapsed, and it doesn't help that she looks like she weighs about 80 pounds. That can't be helping her cause.
Yeah.
If she put some weight on, she'd be able to drink more.
That's true.
Yes,
that's
what that reason alone.
Maybe they'll tell her that at Wonderland.
Maybe they will.
But if it's really a 3-day, you know, place, that's fantastic, because that'll really stick. She doesn't want to be there.
Doesn't want to be there for 3 days.
For 3 days.
When she comes out, oh, she's going to be a new woman.
Not that she needs to be a new woman, because her mom says she's amazingly fine.
She's perfect. in such a solid place right now. I don't know many people who are as secure as she is with her life. Oy vey, as they say in my neighborhood. All right.
Those Menendez brothers, man, their family has never been happier and tighter than they are right now.
Let's talk about the upside of being famous and rich in Hollywood. Okay. Forbes magazine has released its annual list of the world's richest celebrities.
Okay.
Here are your top 10. Jennifer Aniston, number 10. How about that?
Really?
Top 10 richest celebrities.
All that Friends money, I think.
I'm guessing you're right, Lisa. Wow. They made enormous amounts of money towards the end of that run of that show.
That doesn't mean David Schwimmer has that kind of money, too, does it?
No, he's not on the list. None of the other Friends made the list this year. Jennifer Lopez, number 9. Hmm. Must be all that glow stink water she's selling.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts, number 8. Woman hasn't worked in 25 years.
She's
still the 8th richest celebrity in the world. Janet Jackson.
Are you?
That doesn't make sense.
Kidding me?
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. She's number 7.
She's had flop album after flop album.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Complain to Steve Forbes.
Wow.
Mariah Carey, number 6.
Okay.
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Sure.
Though her reign in Vegas is coming to an end, so she's dropped right off the top 10 list. That's what I'm saying.
I hope.
Madonna, number 4. Martha freaking Stewart, number 3.
Well, she got an empire, Ralph.
Still. Her brand is still bringing in buku cash.
Wow.
J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter author, authoress. She's number 2. And number 1, the richest celebrity of all time in the history of all things that are celebrity and rich.
No question.
As we know, Oprah Winfrey. Take a guess what she's worth. What she's worst.
$750 million.
No, she's in the billions.
$1.5 billion, Lisa. That's her net worth.
That's amazing.
$1.5 billion.
I can't even
She could give
imagine.
Away half $1 billion and still be worth $1 billion.
Wouldn't even notice
that
it.
Means. Wouldn't even notice it. What am I worth, a billion? All right, whatever. Someone just took $0.5 billion. That's all right.
Dude, I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's nuts. This disturbs me a little bit. My Lord and Savior, Hugh Hefner, is talking about becoming a father again.
Oh, no.
The 80-year-old Playboy founder.
No.
He's talking about the fact that he's had conversations with one of his girlfriends, Holly Madison, who lives with him. You ever see that Girls Next Door show?
Sure.
She's the three main one, right?
She is the main and eldest, I think, of the three girlfriends. She is desperate to become a mom, and apparently they're in conversations about maybe making her wish come true. She wants to have Hef's kid.
At 80 years old.
Dude.
He's got four kids already, the eldest of which is 54 years old.
That's an age difference.
Christy Hefner is his eldest, who runs the Playboy Enterprise.
54.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, here's your one-month-old sister.
Didn't Scotty, the actor who played Scotty on Star Trek, didn't he have a kid at 80, Ralph?
Yes, he did, I think, around there. And Tony Randall, who was on Tony The Odd Couple, remember him?
Yeah.
Yep. He had one close to 80, too.
At least at least when his kid graduates from high school, he's going to be just about 100 years old.
Yeah.
Well, actually will be.
That's good.
He'll be coaching the league, throwing the ball around. Good times.
That's 100.
100. There's my dad. What?
And lastly, this story comes from TMZ.com, as you know, our favorite entertainment news website. And I thought this was pretty funny. Prince didn't show up till late at the Golden Globe Awards. I don't know if you watched the award show.
Oh, yeah. They introduced
but
him
late. But he won an award, and the camera swings over to his table, and you just see two empty seats.
He wasn't there yet.
Table. Not there yet.
All right.
He finally gets there, and he claims that he got stuck in traffic.
Right.
Right.
So the good folks at Walmart packed up a TomTom GPS device and sent it to Prince as a gift, saying, we know you have to get to the Super Bowl to perform at halftime next month, and we don't want you to be late, so here's a TomTom. You can find your new route through traffic.
That's funny.
Doing a little publicity stunt. I thought that was pretty clever of them. They're still slave laborers, but still. You know what I mean?
Prince is one of those guys who has his own clock.
I'm sure.
He just shows up whenever he...
I thought that was Flavor Flav.
Whenever he wants to.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Michael Crawford, the guy who originated the role of the Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera?
Yes. Sure.
Uh-huh.
You remember them with the face mask?
Sure. Yeah. Guy got the effed up
face.
Turn
your face away from the garish light of day.
He's the guy who toured as the Phantom for 20 years after he left the show.
And listen to the music of the night. Want to hear the whole score?
No.
Yes,
we're good.
Yes. Not really. Yes.
He's 65 years old today. Dolly Parton, the country singer with the giant hoots, is 61 years old today. Katie Sagal, you know her as Peg, on Married with Children. She was on Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter When Your Husband Dies. And most recently on Lost, I guess we saw her as Lost.
Sure.
Longtime girlfriend. 50 years old today. Andrea DiMatteo, the late Adriana on The Sopranos. 35 years old today. She was Joey's sister, too, on the popular sitcom
That's
Joey.
Right. Oh, is that
starring
right?
Starring Matt LeBlanc.
Who knew?
Career move. Leaving Sopranos, going to do Joey. That was her idea.
Good move.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So we're going to play Muse next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you do still have another chance to qualify for the trip to Hong Kong that we're going to be giving away next hour. We'll be making a phone call to send someone to freaking Asia as the winner of Destination Number 4 of K-Rock's World Tour 2006. Qualifying prize, of course, is fantastic. It's a trip to the Forum to see Muse in concert, and that will be coming up very soon here on K-Rock.
I'll tell you a little something about Sophia Bush.
What?
Yes.
Hot.
Yeah.
And super hot and super nice.
And hot. Yeah, that's A and B. So she was in our studios yesterday from One Tree Hill, of course, and she's in The Hitcher that opens today. And Bean slash...
Loves her, and she loves me.
Slash King of Mexico slash Psycho Mike were in rare form.
Oh, yeah.
Psycho Mike was the most stable and non-embarrassing of the three.
If that tells you anything at all.
Which really never happens. So Bean, who, as you know, is a stalker and at one point caused an actress to move.
No.
Yeah. She was scared out of her mind.
Yeah. That never happened. That's just... No, not
he starts off the interview with Sophia Bush talking about an article that she has in the Los Angeles Times where she says, here are my favorite places to go for my idea of the perfect weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean begins the conversation with her like this.
So if you're, you know, like me and you plan to follow Sophia Bush everywhere for the rest of your life, please pick up this morning's Los Angeles Times as we find out every minute of your weekend.
You're a stalker?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Yeah, it was odd. And the look in her eyes when she was laughing, she was like, you're going to follow me everywhere I go, huh? So Bean started off creepy. At the beginning of the interview. Creepy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if she's going to Damiana Pizza, I'm going to Damiana Pizza. That's the only thing I would say.
Sometimes Bean tries to be smooth, and we just pretty much fawn all over whoever it is that's here. Yesterday, he had the stalker, the killer. He's the crazy man from Seattle coming out of him yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know how Bean...
I think it's because he was here. Like, he was within touching distance, and it just...
He drove him out of his mind.
Yeah, he can't control himself.
Somebody on this show, and it's always Bean, just so you know, says women are no damn goddamn good. That's his big thing. He says it, I don't know, twice a day. And I disagree strongly. I think the world women make the world go round. If there were no women, I would kill myself.
What would you all do?
What would you do? So being in her presence, we're talking about her character in the movie and how she's arguing with the guy. They pick up a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker turns out to be some crazy guy. And they're arguing, and she says, why didn't you listen to me? And Beans comes with this immediately.
That's the problem. That's why women are no goddamn good. Bitch.
That's Bean.
That's nice, Bean.
That's how you make your. That's how you get a guest to fall in love with you.
You stalk her, and then you accuse her of being no goddamn good.
I was referring to her character.
The clip we played was her nagging her boyfriend in the movie.
Right, but you didn't say the character.
No, you said women.
That's why women are no goddamn good.
She's a woman.
Well, just the latest proof. That's all.
So then, we come out of I think a Muse song, and I'm trying to talk, and Bean interrupts me, and then introduces Sophia Bush, and this is where Psycho Mike comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know the noise he makes from the back of the room that drives everybody crazy.
Yeah,
right.
He did it in her presence, and she kind of wondered what was going on, and then so this happened. Muse on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and keep listening for your chance to qualify for that trip for two to see Muse in Hong Kong.
Blah 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 blah. Sophia Bush is here. Sophia, you like
quite the noise.
I'm sorry. Can I hear your version of the noise?
I want you to do it again,
Mike.
Okay, hold
do
on.
It again.
I'll set it up, and you'll see how it works with Mike. Take two.
So it's Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning, 8:28. Actress Sophia Bush is here.
Wow, that was a much bigger noise.
Yeah, and scarier, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So now she's scared of Bean, and she's scared of Mike.
Yeah, as she should be.
Meanwhile, King of Mexico comes in and acts all smooth, steps into the room.
He's the coolest.
He steps into the room and says, oh, Sophia Bush, I didn't know you were here.
Because I always come in the studio.
And then we take a break. And during the commercials, the conversation that you can't hear is we were talking about this movie, Children of Men, which is, I guess, sometime in the future, and nobody can have children. No one gets pregnant in the world. And so the race is just dying off.
Yeah.
And it's at that point that Bean, in all his glory, steps up and goes, well, that would be awesome. That'd be so cool.
And Sophia's just said how creepy this movie was, how devastating it was to watch it, how tragic the whole thing was. And Bean just can't get over the fact that women can't get pregnant.
And we all
and
look
how
at,
cool that is.
We all look at Bean and we're like, the species is dying off. What? Part of that is cool.
People don't even want to live anymore. And he's like, no, that's the coolest.
That's the coolest. That would be awesome.
And Bean, as though you never even come close to getting a woman pregnant. Like, that is, like, you would just bang so many women if they couldn't get pregnant. That's all that stops you. So
That's what's holding me back, Lisa. You're absolutely
Sophia
right.
Sophia was disturbed by that thought, and Bean was so over the moon. That would be a perfect scenario. If I could make a perfect scenario, it would be that. Women couldn't get pregnant, and the species would die off.
Yeah.
And the woman would be mute, too, by the way. Don't forget that. Look, here's what I'm saying, Lisa, is in most people's lives, most regular people, even take me out of this, most regular, normal, healthy, sexually active people, okay, how many times do they actually have sex to impregnate a woman? How many times is their intention to have a baby?
Right, but you understand that that's not the only part of the movie. The species is dying off.
I understand, but I'm just saying the part where they can't get pregnant is awesome, because if you're having sex 1,000 times and you only want to have a kid one time out of that, then 999 times you're guaranteed you're not going to have the kid. That was my point.
I think
you're
missing.
Bean delivered some great
odds. Wasn't your point, by the way.
That
your
point was my point. I'm telling you, that's why I said it.
The species dying off. He said this, too. And the species dying off would be the best. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because I asked you about that.
Yes.
And by the way, we've actually figured out ways not to get pregnant.
We've
already
talking
solved
about?
That problem.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
And Bean hasn't been having sex all this time.
Yeah.
So Sophia brings up her dear dog.
Oh.
The love of her life.
This is sad.
As she puts it, the love of her life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She tells us that she gets the dog from a rescue mission. A friend of hers got it from a rescue.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't take care of it, so she took it over. And his name is Patch. Okay.
Right.
So clearly he's missing an eye. And we talk about that. He's missing an eye. And she's so just romanticizing. This is my. She sleeps with me every night. I just love him. It's my partner in life, my soulmate. And Bean is focused now on the fact that the dog is missing an eye. Now, I don't know under what circumstances this is an interesting question to anyone, including Sophia Bush. But Bean's very curious about that eye missing.
It's just the two of us. He's like my kid.
Which eye is missing?
It is, when you're looking at him, it is the left.
Oh, thank God. We found out which eye is missing.
Why would you ask that question?
I'm trying to visualize the situation that she's talking
but
about.
But you can visualize
the right or the left.
A dog with a patch over an eye. It matters to you if it's the right or left?
I just wanted to hear the story as to what happened to this poor dog.
What do you think happened? She got it from a rescue place.
I didn't know the dog could have had cancer and had to have an eye removed.
Well,
I had no idea what could have happened.
So Bean follows up Witch Eye with this question.
And what happened to him?
He was a really, really badly abused dog.
Oh,
and
that breaks my heart.
Oh, I can't believe that. I thought it was going to be something good. I thought the dog was so happy his eye fell out. There's no positive answer to that question. A dog from that got rescued that's missing an eye. Why do you ask what happened?
My grandmother, God rest her soul, had a stroke and her eye popped out. Could have been a story like that.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm just saying.
This
there are a lot
dog
of ways
that is her soulmate that she considers her own kid. This dog that she loves
but she
more
loves
than any human being. You make her tell us what happened to the eye.
She loves her dog so much she probably loves talking about her dog too.
Not about that part of it.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Can you describe to us exactly what happened when the eye got gouged out when it was being abused? What kind of question is that?
I didn't ask for detailed description.
Why
of
would
the
you ask
socket.
What happened? Why?
You would have if she'd known.
Under what circumstances would that be interesting?
I just was trying to visualize what she was talking about, what was going on.
Listen, some things you just go, that's bad. That's all I need to know. I don't need more details. That's bad.
If you know a dog was rescued and is missing an eye,
right.
It's really obvious
right.
What happened.
It's bad news all around.
You just can't appreciate the bond that Sophia and I have, the shared experiences that we have.
My dog was so happy. His eye just popped out. It was the strangest thing, just out of happiness. I've never seen it before.
Look, I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to paint me in, like, creepy, weird.
No, light. I'm not painting you at all.
But Sophia was eager to leave at the end of the interview. I will tell you, she seemed in a hurry for the door.
So she starts talking about shooting a gun and how she handled it like a cop, and she's talking about her father. Her father and her go shoot guns. And then mm-hmm. Bean comes back with another touching moment about the dog.
So my dad and I started going to the shooting range together when I was 12.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is it possible one of those bullets she shot up in the air is what happened to Patch? Do you ever think about that?
I don't think so.
So now nice he's suggesting thing. That her own bullet is what gouged the eye out. He's not done with the eye yet. He's got to go back to the dog's missing eye.
Very nice.
And not only does he have to talk about the dog's missing eye, he has to blame it on her, the rescuer.
I didn't think that it was really her, but...
So then Bean is talking about the movie, and this is, I just...
All right, so big weekend for you. Now, you've, of course, been in films before. We saw you in John Tucker Must Die and some mm-hmm. other stuff, but this this seems like a whole new level, this Hitcher.
Yeah, this...
You be starring.
Oh. Bean said the words, you be starring. Now, is that a reference to you be illin', or we be clubbing? Which is it? You be starring.
It's in that family,
is it
yeah.
Cube? Who is it? What are you doing there, you be starring?
He sure is cool, isn't he?
Well, I... Maybe in retrospect, I might not have said that
you
again. I don't
starring.
Know where that came from.
You be starring.
I think I got the point across, which is that she's starring in the movie.
My favorite memory of Sophia Bush's interview today, which I'm already trying to archive in my mind so I never forget it.
Okay, now this is Bean talking while she's in the room.
Yeah, before she's even left.
He's now recapping his favorite part of the interview, and she's still sitting there.
Forget it.
Was it when you asked her if she shot her own dog's eye out? Was that your moment?
That wasn't my moment,
That's the one that's going to stick with you forever?
My moment is a little Mexican kid whose face I haven't seen in a year poked his head in the door to go, "Hi, Sophia, I'm a really big fan of the CW.
Yeah, Dave the King of Mexico, who never comes into
never.
The studio, by
I don't
the way.
Think I've ever seen him in this room before.
But he was very smooth in that he said, "Oh, Sophia Bush is here?"
Oh, what a surprise. I did not even realize it. I've been watching the CW forever, for longer than anybody else.
Okay, now this is Dave being ridiculous, right? He says,
yes.
I've been watching the CW forever. Since it was the UPN and the WB, I supported it before it became the CW, he's telling her.
Yeah.
Like, somehow she's going to go, "Wow, well, thank you," I guess. And then Bean turns.
Does that happen to you all the time, Sophia?
Yeah, it does. People tell her that they've been supporting the CW since the UPN and the WB.
No, that wasn't
happens all the time.
That wasn't my specific question.
That was your specific question. I just played it.
No. But I'm saying that's not, you're misinterpreting the way I meant it, which was, does that happen all the time? Meaning guys come in and say meaningless things to you just to have a conversation with you. That's what I meant. Not specifically about the CW. Yeah,
she could not get out of this studio fast enough.
She really did.
She'd be in a hurry, yeah.
She ran for her life to get away from us.
And she should.
And she'll never come on again,
she
probably.
She shouldn't. Not after Bean.
Freaking Bean. We got to keep him away from people.
Yes.
You be starring.
Yes.
How about some email real quick? We go to the Kevin and Bean email bag. You can write to any of us. Addresses are up at the website. Lisa, how are you doing on penis photos? You okay? Or you need some more?
Excellent.
Really?
I'm actually recycling older ones. Yeah. Because after a while, you kind of forget. So
sure.
When you have those
okay.
two. So I'm
all
good.
Right.
Thanks.
Well, just let us know when you need us to ask for a new batch, because I know that's something, it's a service we provide.
You bet.
We do have coming up, we're going to be talking to Omar about his unnatural hate for the chef. Rachel Ray. I don't know why he hates her so much, but we're going to find out. But we did get some emails when we made mention of it yesterday, and we got a lot of Rachel Ray emails. But I think my favorite of all of them is the one that came from Hugo. And maybe this sums up the way a lot of people feel about her.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her, but I do her. That's the extent of his email.
Well, I think that's pretty accurate.
I think that's what all of you guys were saying after seeing those photos.
But it wouldn't be pleasurable.
Yeah, of course. You'd be making yourself do it.
For her. You make hate. That's what you do with people like that.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. But well done, Hugo. I hope you have the opportunity.
I'm sure you guys have heard of this, but just in case you haven't, we did play some clips from one of these shows. But in case you haven't, Rick writes, you guys probably already know about both these shows, Surreal Life Fame Games.
I don't know.
Premiered recently. And I Love New York premiered. Both, in my opinion, are absolutely spectacular. They're both train wrecks, and each in their own ways. They warrant to be talked about a lot.
Okay.
Those are some good shows. If you haven't seen I Love New York, that's some TV right there.
Okay.
So you need to watch that. Hey, guys, I was just wondering if either of you knew when the second part of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet series will come out.
No.
I love listening to you guys go through it line by line last year, and I can only hope that he doesn't let us down this time. Get back to me if you have time. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah, what's he doing, by the way? You don't leave us hanging. I don't even remember what was going on in the story, but I do know that it was a cliffhanger, and I need to know how it ends.
7 o'clock in the morning, and the rays from the sun wakes me. I'm stretching and yawning in a bed that don't belong to me.
It's the beginning.
Then a voice yells, good morning, darling, from the bathroom. Then she comes out and kisses me, and to my surprise, she ain't you.
Oh, hey.
Now I've got this dumb look on my face, like, what have I done? How could I be so stupid to be up late here till the morning sun? Lost the track of time. Oh, one was on my mind. From the club went to a home. Didn't plan to stay that long. Here I am, quickly trying to put on my clothes. Searching for my car keys, trying to get them about the door.
And then he shows up and he goes in the closet and his phone rings and everybody, all hell breaks loose.
By the way, if you've ever heard Trapped in the Closet, that is, that same melody goes on for, I think we're up to almost 30 minutes now of total songs. 30 minutes of just that story, just every excruciating detail. And R. Kelly, if you happen to be out there, if you happen to be listening, how about a little less time peeing on teenagers and a little more time going back into the studio to finish the goddamn song, all right? Get your priorities straight.
Well said.
There's a midget. There's all kinds of stuff in that story. We do need the next 12 chapters or however many.
Absolutely.
All right, 6:31. We'll be right back. We got to talk about Rachel Ray. She is a blight on humanity, and we'll tell you why next. Do you guys think we'll probably win an award for our webcasting? You think we'll get an award for that?
Oh, yeah, a Webby.
For how well we do it?
We'll get a Webby.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We had to have a meeting yesterday, which was the basic yearly Why We Suck, the meeting.
Yeah, right. The State of the Union.
So we'll give you some highlights of that fantastic meeting coming up just after the top.
At least it was only 4 hours long, which is what I like.
That's good, yeah.
My part was, you guys are number one, but wow, are you bad. That was my favorite part. All right, it's KRKFM passing Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what on earth is going on?
Cameron Diaz adjusting to life as a single woman.
Yeah?
She's telling anyone who will listen that she's happier alone.
Right.
She's good at it, she says. And while it's not pleasant that when a relationship ends, it's a part of life. Cameron's also told friends that she's just human and admits that her life is just a journey like anyone else's.
Oh, God. Wow.
Except it has lots of money, fame, leisure time, and hot men in it than everyone else's.
Yeah.
In a related story, TMZ.com says Cameron's wasted no time in finding a new guy to bang around with.
Okay.
Although she's fine apparently being on her own. She's recently been hanging out in Hawaii with Kelly Slater.
Oh, no kidding.
This
really?
Kelly Slater, by the way, gets passed around like a bong at one of Omar's parties.
He
you know what I'm saying?
No question.
Yeah. He goes to all the hot, attractive celebrity ladies.
Surfs and bangs hot chicks. That's his life.
He was with Pam Anderson for a while, wasn't he, Ron?
Yes, he was, and many other hotties. So either she's happy being alone, or she's happier banging a surfer.
Here's what she had to say.
I like meat.
Yeah, don't we all?
Guys, Cameron Diaz, real quick, attractive? Yes or no?
Oh,
good actress?
No,
yes or no?
No and no.
I think no and no also.
I don't get it.
But she's a huge star.
I
know. She's one of the like $20 million movie chicks.
I know. It is one of the mysteries of the faith for me.
She's one of those women who has a lot of charisma. You know, when she's happy and smiling, she's fun to watch.
Yeah, she seems nice, and she was fantastic in There's Something About Mary. I mean, you give her mad props for that. She was great in that. But
she's very likable.
Yeah, not so good, really.
I told you I went to see The Holiday with her and Kate Winslet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like she was invisible. When you see Kate Winslet act and be charming and adorable, and then you go to Cameron Diaz, who is sort of the American standard for that same sort of role.
Right.
Just blew her off the screen.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan.
I don't get it.
Rosie O'Donnell has a new target. Now, apparently, she's finished with the Donald and his comb-over. Yesterday on The View, she went off on about a seven-minute rant on how Simon, Paula, and Randy were too negative and making fun of the contestants on American Idol.
Too negative and making fun of the contestants?
Yes.
Did she
is this what America thinks is entertainment? To make fun of someone's physical appearance and then when they leave the room laugh hysterically?
Yeah, of course. You don't think we're laughing at you when your show goes off the air every morning at 11, Rosie?
She slammed the judges, calling them, who are they to judge, these millionaires? One probably intoxicated. Oh, Jesus, shut the F up.
I'll tell you who they are to judge. They're the judges on American Idol.
And by the way, if you're a freaking ugly and talentless and you go into American Idol, the competition, you get what you deserve.
You're asking for it.
Paul and Randy are walking down the street accosting people at a Starbucks saying they're ugly and talentless. These people are offering themselves up on the altar to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
And I think they have proven over the course of five previous seasons that they do have a pretty good track record of picking talent. I mean, it's not like they're new at this.
And the people they say are horrible and ugly are horrible and ugly. God,
don't be stupid.
I hate her. And lastly, who's your favorite TV personality?
Favorite TV personality?
The Harris poll. Remember the Harris poll? This is a real deal. Sure. This is like one of those polls they use for elections and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm like a real news.
I'm one of the Harris poll
contributors. Of course you are.
Of course you are. Here is the top 10 list of America's favorite TV personalities.
Okay.
Number 10, Conan O'Brien. How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That late night bastard getting to the top 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Number 9, Ellen DeGeneres. No surprise there.
Yeah. Very good, yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland, number 8.
Hmm. Sure.
People love that 24.
Okay.
Ray Romano. Doesn't have a TV show. Still 7th most popular TV personality in America.
Now that it's on in repeats, though, they play it 5 times a day.
That's true. He is everywhere.
Yeah.
Jay Leno is number 6. David Letterman, number 5.
Okay.
Good to know that Dave ranks ahead of Jay. Hugh Laurie, my boy.
Yeah.
The final actor on the list, Dr. Greg House over there on House. He's number 4. Bill O. Mother Effin' Riley, number 3. That tells you there's something about America, don't it?
It tells you who they survey. That's what it tells you.
They say they survey a wide variety of ages and races.
If they survey
you, parts of the country,
then there's no God.
But I can be part of the mix. I didn't answer this particular Harris survey, but I can be part of the mix.
John Stewart. Number 2.
Oh.
Awesome.
Great.
Better.
And number 1, Oprah.
Are you doing any list today that Oprah's not number 1?
There is no list.
I promise in the next hour I'll be doing a list of the greatest, the best legs in Hollywood.
Okay.
Women in Hollywood with the best legs.
So she's out.
Oprah is not finally on a list I will be doing today.
Good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Crawford, who played the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera for many years, is 65 years old today. Dolly Parton.
How
yes.
Is she?
Oh, yeah. She's 61 years old, Lisa.
Wow.
She looks great for 61.
She does.
Katie Sagal from Married with Children and from Lost, 50 years old today. Andrea DiMatteo, who played Adrian on The Sopranos, is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our boss, Mr. Weatherby, likes to have meetings with us about once a year, and we call it the Why We Suck, the meeting. And we all have to go to a restaurant. In this case, it was Gladstone's in Malibu. And we all sat around and talked about the show and everything that's good. And Mr. Weatherby started off by reading to us statistics, which is always fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, 14-year-olds, not a big fan. 15 to 17-year-olds seem to like the show. 18 to 24-year-olds, big fans. 25-year-olds, not so much. 26 and 27-year-olds, they're lukewarm. And he would read like 45 minutes. And Bean and I would just go, what are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to use that information? So he does that for like an hour and a half before everyone else shows
up.
Yeah,
you, Ralph, and Bean had to sit through that.
Well, there's nothing more entertaining than listening to a guy read facts and figures. I got to say, and he certainly knows how to bring it to life.
And then he started talking about the character diamond.
What?
I don't know what that is. I wrote it down because I was like, "What? I don't even know what a character diamond is. How are we supposed to understand what you're saying to us?
This is like the USDA food pyramid, apparently. It has some relation to that. I'm not sure.
Character diamond.
Huh.
So anyway, so finally Psycho Mike and assistant producer Alex and Lisa and everybody else shows up and they have to wait a half hour so that he can continue talking about the goddamn character diamond.
We show up on time. We keep trying to walk into the room. Mr. Weatherby keeps holding up a finger. Not yet.
Give us
not
a minute.
Yet.
Just a minute. Just give us a minute.
So we back out.
So then we got to go around the table and have everybody's idea of how we could improve the show. What can we do to improve the show? First of all, assistant producer Alex... She won't shut the F up. Now, here's the thing.
She can talk.
I like her. She's fantastic.
I love her. She does a great job on the show.
But in these meetings, the goal is not to improve the show. The goal is to get the hell out.
Yes.
So you say what you have to, and then that's it. You move on.
Right.
I would have left early, but I knew there was dessert coming eventually if we ever got to the end of the goddamn meeting. So I just tried to shut up and wait for the cake.
About hour three, Psycho Mike started passing around his cell phone with his picture of a gigantic black guy with a black unit. And that was the entertainment. I don't know what was being said. I'm sure assistant producer Alex was still talking. And then the King of Mexico at some point was talking to Omar. They were sitting down at the end of the table. I don't think they were even talking to the room, but I heard the King of Mexico say, yeah, remember we were talking about Coachella, the upcoming Coachella, which we can't give any details on now, but it's going to be great. But anyway, he says, remember last year at the Coachella when we saw a wolf?
And I remember that.
And I said, what do you mean you saw a wolf? And I guess they were eating cactus or something. It was some kind of acid trip they were on, and they were running around seeing wolves everywhere.
Wolves?
Oh, he meant wolves.
Yeah, wolves. Yeah,
wolf. But it was a wolf?
It was a wolf, yeah. We saw wolves. We were running away from wolves. That was so much fun. And then it came to Lightning. Now, Lightning, as you know, we called him in the CD this past year, Wrong Man.
Yeah.
And we were talking about ways to improve the show, blah, blah, blah. Look, the show blows. You get what you get. We're doing our best.
Hey, it's
all right?
Free. I'd like to remind everybody.
It is free.
Who's complaining and writing strongly worded letters, it's free. It's as good as it costs you, okay? Like everything else in life.
Now, everybody else has pretty good ideas. Alex, although she won't shut the F up, has pretty good ideas, right?
She does. Yes. Yeah.
And Dave, you know, he's seeing woofs and Psycho Mike showing his... You know, everybody's trying to contribute a little bit. It gets around to Lightning. And he says... I'm not a big fan of charity.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point? It's not funny.
Where's the payoff?
And we said, Lightning, we do, I don't know, two charity things a year, maybe. Nobody abuses the airwaves more than we do without giving back anything.
Exactly.
We're terrible at that. We're awful at doing charity. Honestly, we do. We do like... two things a year.
Yeah, there's no show on the air that does less for America than this one. I mean, you can look at any of our competitors, and they're always helping people out and giving away stuff and, you know, buying them cars and houses and just whatever they need. And we just basically don't do very much of that.
Gentlemen, it's because you're bad at it. So, that's why I don't like it. So then everybody who's not paying attention, which is all of us at this point, you know, Dave's seeing woofs and showing the phone and we're talking and we're writing little notes back and forth to each other. We all perk up and we look at Lane and we say, what? I don't like charity.
There's no embarrassment in saying, I don't think we should give anything to anybody ever.
There's no payoff. Is that funny? And we all look at him. And by the way, we're very strong personalities around the table. None of us agree on
anything.
Yeah. On any one topic, we all have differing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, everybody as one looks at Lightning and goes, what?
Well, that's the beauty of Wrong Man, is you have a common enemy that the rest of the group can get behind.
I'm glad
he galvanizes
the group.
Oh, yes. He did.
Is it funny? And we say, well, it's not supposed to be funny for the most part.
We never should have given that girl that car, that girl that's parents die. We shouldn't have given her that car. Well, Lady, she needed a car.
I know.
I know, but it wasn't funny.
Listen, I know it's not supposed to be funny.
It wasn't funny.
and if it's and it helps people, great. But
no,
the radio oftentimes
blows. That's not what you're saying. You were saying you don't like charity. There's no payoff. It's not funny.
Well,
and at that point, we were all, it's like now we're into hour five and we have to deal with our producer, Wrong Man, who's telling us that charity blows.
I hate poor people.
Charity
poor
on
people
the radio.
Help themselves.
Charity on the radio oftentimes blows. It's
he
not
sat
great
down
radio.
And made a list. This was not extemporaneous. He made a list of things that he wanted to talk about, and charity blowing was one of them.
I didn't bring it
that
up.
That was on the list.
It was not on
you
the list.
You did bring it up.
Oh, go look
now
at my list on
I
the computer.
I brought up the charity.
She
that
brought,
was one of my
you.
Ideas.
Yeah,
that we should do more because we're total dicks and
also,
we need to balance that out a little
but is that funny
and then lightning
the
just went ballistic
where's the payoff
and
now at this point all of us are yelling at lightning. It's just like a mass just craziness of everyone yelling at the same time, and I'm still looking at my watch going, Jesus, 4 o'clock, we've got to leave, this is crazy. But charity's no good, and lightning won't back down, by the way.
No.
As soon as he is, if something
I'm
comes out of his mouth, he will stand behind that till death.
I'm gonna get hate mail now. This is not how it happened.
This is
audience.
Exactly how it this happened is-
Bean,
am I exaggerating
there.
At all about lightning?
I think that you guys do a poor job of doing those charitable features.
We do a poor job of everything.
So, but I'm not
so
against
what?
The charity. I'm the one that has to facilitate. I handle the car situation. I built
that's
the
what
freaking,
it is. That's what
house.
Your complaint
no,
is.
It's
and it's
not.
Work for you.
No,
that
it's
somebody
not.
Else benefits from and not you.
No, it's not.
How do I benefit
it,
from this? I
did
to do all the work.
I did it, and I did a great job, and I worked with all the people involved in all the projects very well and felt fulfilled. Now,
even if we did a bad job, though, like a couple years ago when we had that house built for Roxanne, even if it sucked on the radio and even if we were bad at it, wasn't it worth it because she ended up with a house?
And a
wasn't
lot of people
it?
Were able to help and they felt great about that.
And then the contractor went to prison. Remember that? That was all good.
It's all
even
great.
If we're the weak
down
link
in that.
Though, even if we're the weak link, I'm just still saying occasionally a story does come along that touches you and you want to do something to help, like the lady with the car a couple months ago.
So we're yelling. So now we're deadlocked. We're all yelling at Lightning. Lightning is yelling back. We're deadlocked. We're going to continue yelling until the end of time.
Yeah.
But the tension was broken by Bean sneezing.
Sorry.
And we all looked and we were like, what just happened?
Sorry. You know, the guy who knows who prepare for these meetings, the only smart one among us is Ralph Garman. Because, A, I don't think I heard him say a word during the whole meeting.
Right.
He just figured, if I shut up, it's just one less person that we have to hear from and we can get out of here in under 6 hours.
And
B, he drank so heavily.
He was drinking.
He ordered a Bloody Mary on the way in and never stopped. I mean, that is the way to get through those meetings.
That's God how he started, Ralph. And then there was Bloody Mary coming out of his nose when he heard this.
Sorry.
And that was the end.
And right now, we've got some important business to take care of. As you know, all this week, we've been giving away tickets for Muse at the Forum, which is going to be a phenomenal show. This band has come on fast, haven't they? This
yes,
Muse?
They have.
Oh,
yeah. They're great.
And they've done it the old-fashioned way by making great records and being a great live act. So those tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon for the Forum show. We've given them away all week on K-Rock, and we promised you destination number 4 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007 would be awarded about now, and it's a trip to see the band in Hong Kong.
It's destination number 3, but who's being picky?
It's 4.
We're 4.
Is it 4?
Doesn't matter.
I'd go with Bean if I had to choose between the two of you and accurate information.
I'd go with 3 and I'll bet money on it.
Oh.
Wow, I don't know that I want to
bet. You just read something.
Yes, I did. All right.
All right. Okay.
Let's call our winner. Here's what I... All right, let's just call our winner. Sorry.
All right.
This is a call I've always wanted to receive.
Sure.
And never will.
China, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
What are the chances I'm going to get this right?
Zero.
Give me a hint. What part of town are we calling?
Placentia.
Okay.
Can we stop playing this music eventually?
I hope this is the end of it. I hope we're about done with it. Nothing says the exciting and dynamic and vibrant city of Hong Kong like this music, that's for sure.
Or the phone just ringing and ringing.
Yep. All the good things we love rolled into one sweet presentation right
Jesus,
here.
Jesus, even though...
I think there's going to be another meeting at Gladstone's after this. Don't you?
Hello?
Hello?
Don?
This is John.
Close enough.
John Chacho?
Yeah.
Are you a K-Rock listener?
I am indeed.
Do you have a brother named Don?
I do have a brother.
Is his name Don?
No.
So you're the person?
Yeah, you guys just took my name down wrong.
We wrote it down wrong. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just trying to make sure you didn't steal your brother's prize.
King of Mexico on fire.
Yeah.
As usual.
Now, you're the guy who called our show yesterday and won the tickets to see Muse at the Forum, right?
Did, yeah.
Okay, so we got the right guy. So why do you imagine we might be calling you back a day later?
Is this about those prank phone calls to Lisa May? Because I can tell you, I was drinking a lot that night.
Nope, those are fine. Those are fine.
Dialing.
Keep making those. Yeah. There's no problem with that. That's not why we're calling.
We would like you to keep dialing. Have you ever been to Hong Kong?
No, I have not been to Hong Kong.
Well, you're our grand prize winner, and that means that you're going to Hong Kong.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
How crazy is that?
It's pretty crazy.
You get round-trip airfare for two, you get a hotel, you get two tickets to see Muse in Hong Kong, and you get $500 spending cash.
That is a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to warn you about something here, Don, who calls himself John. Listen, I saw what they did to Jack Bauer in China, and all I'm saying is just be very, very careful. Don't trust the yellow man, okay?
I've already known that for years, Kevin. I mean, come on.
And that's being okay. And don't give away any state secrets, no matter how much they torture you.
I'll try to bring back as much information as I can.
Excellent.
Dude, seriously, though, call us after you go to Hong Kong, because this is one of those trips that I just can't, it would blow my mind to go on. Yes. I just think it would be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
See Muse in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And how about, thinking of your old pal Bean, if you're into any Asian porn stores while you're over there, okay?
I'll totally be thinking of you, Bean.
Okay, man. I appreciate Excellent. That.
Don't take your dog.
Oh!
All right, Don, formerly known as John. Congratulations. We're going to have somebody call you back with all the details and enjoy Hong Kong.
Good deal, thanks.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
Hi. The least excited guy in the world.
All right, good.
Hey, all
thanks.
Right. I used to call Lisa May, yeah. Okay, I'm going. Excellent.
Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or could.
Last hour we were talking about this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of Wheat Thins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is.
Oh, Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
No. The Ace of Cakes, Bean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right, well, let's hear his commercial. What's
Listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? And oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Doug. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay.
Duff. So, really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language, but we do have it right.
You are man. I'm the bad boy cakes, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
Oh, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I
That's
see where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good? That's
it. You don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
I'm insane, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes. I'm the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I'll preheat an oven. So it's be 350. I'll go to 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then, crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch! I can do what I want. I'm the ace of cakes.
All right, listen.
I'm tired and it must be dealt with.
Listen, listen, Duff. Here's the thing. Cake, it seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man. I
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now, I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right,
yeah. I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
If I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray?
Listen,
oh, geez. Listen, that's not what we're talking about at all.
Jeff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven, you know
what I'm saying? Oh, okay. Duff. Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. I need an extra ingredient, man. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds...
I make a bundt cake?
Yeah.
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the ace of cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.
Not only details on this year's Coachella, but I think it's really make or break time on deciding whether this boxing match, this drink boxing match, is going on between you and the King of Mexico, Ralph. It sounds to me like you guys are talking about like you're going to do it.
What do you mean deciding whether it's going to happen or not?
It's on.
Well,
it's on,
it's
like
on,
Donkey Kong.
It's a done deal. The contracts have been signed. The promoters are they invested their money. It's in. It's on.
What I'm saying is, if that's the case, then we have a lot of work to do starting Monday morning to start getting this thing together. If we're really trying to do it, within a couple of months.
We white man.
Well, the King of Mexico needs a trainer. That's the one you have.
For starters, yes.
So we'll start on that on Monday morning.
I got into the ring yesterday, first time in a long time, because I told my guy, Steve, who's training, I said, you know, I got a fight coming up. He said, all right, well, then we got to up the workout. You know, we got to do workout appropriately.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I put on the headgear and the cup and the 16-ounce gloves, and I get into the ring yesterday. First time in a long time. Usually we just do the drills. You know, I'll work the heavy bag and the speed bag and the double end bag and focus pads and skip rope and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you don't spar all that often unless you got a fight coming up. So I get in the ring for the first time in a long time, and I decided we're going to do 3 2-minute rounds for the fight.
They're 3-minute rounds, aren't they?
Yeah, originally everyone said, let's do 5 3-minute rounds. Everybody's like, yeah, okay. After yesterday, we're going to do 3 2-minute rounds. That's how it's going to go. I've decided. For the benefit of both Dave and myself, I think that's the way to go.
That's very wise.
Those who haven't tried it, that third minute of the first round usually feels like it's about a year long.
It's the ridiculously exhausting.
It is.
3 minutes. There's the way you can judge time. The shortest period of time, in my opinion, is the period of time between when a banana is not yet ripe and when it ripens.
Okay.
To when it rots.
Okay.
There's a small window there when it goes from green to being just right to then brown and disgusting. It's the smallest measure of time, in my opinion.
Okay. Right.
The longest measure of time is 3 minutes inside a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Crazy, crazy.
Just like about a month.
If you're telling me it's on,
it's on.
Like Donkey Kong, then I'm saying that Monday we got a lot of work to do. That's all I'm saying. Oh, so let's plan for that. 7:55, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Anybody looking for a hot 20-year-old billionaire girlfriend?
Yes.
Billionaire girlfriend.
New York Post says that Ashley Olsen of the Olsen twins is available.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm,
she dumped her 27-year-old boyfriend after a year and a half.
She's too skinny.
Greg Chait is his name. He's a jeans, blue jeans mogul. She dumped him because she was looking for marriage and he wasn't interested. She's 20! He's 27. He's got a lot of money. You're going to let him? No. No one's getting married.
Idiot.
Yeah, I've seen pictures lately. She's freakishly thin.
It's really, really unattractive to me.
And she looks like a bag lady. She dresses like a bag lady.
She does.
She's got a giant floppy hat on and big glasses.
And huge
glasses.
She's
pushing some kind of shopping cart.
Yeah.
Saw her at Fred Siegel like 2 weeks ago around Christmas time. And I was with my sister. And her and I together are the most callous, horrible people when it comes to picking on, you know, pointing people, making fun of them. And her and I looked at each other and we were like, it's just sad. We can't even make fun of her. That's how bad she looks. She looks like a transient.
Wow.
Wow.
A starving transient.
Yeah.
To be 20 and that rich and that
screwed
sad.
Up.
Sad.
Ugly.
It's just bad news.
Yeah. Eat, people. Eat.
I mean, they're not bad looking girls.
No, but
they're just malnourished.
It's like it's like they're trying desperately to look bad.
They're starting to get the bloated Ethiopian stomach,
yes.
I think. That's the next step. And soon flies are going to be buzzing around their faces like you always see in those commercials.
Use some of those billions for, I don't know, lunch.
Don't you think it would drive you nuts if you were in the desert starving and just
flies were buzzing around your face.
Yeah, of
that'd be the worst part, I think, for me.
The flies.
More than the starving and the heat, the oppressive heat and sun and being trapped in the desert.
The goddamn flies.
Flies buzzing around my face would make me nuts. I hate that.
I'd go, and you wouldn't have the strength to knock him down either. Just yell at him. It's not enough. I'm hungry.
What's going on back there? Mike's throwing up in the trash can.
Why are you throwing up?
I was taking a huge sip of liquid and Rob said that and it all just exploded in my face.
I'm just saying flies are worse than hunger.
No, I hate that.
Don't you hate when bugs are flying around your face?
It is a bad
the worst part about being a starving child in Ethiopia.
I'm guessing starving is worse.
I'm not so sure.
Okay.
We'll have to look into it.
Let's ask one of the Olsen twins.
Angelina Jolie's condemning Madonna for adopting that boy David from Malawi.
Yeah, how dare she?
That's one less child Angelina gets. I think that's why she's angry. Apparently, she thought that adopting from Malawi was a bad choice.
Why?
Angelina, of course, adopted her son Maddox from Cambodia and Zahara from Ethiopia.
Right.
Because they've got adoption programs in place.
Right.
Madonna knew the situation, Angelina said. There's no real legal framework for adoption in Malawi. I prefer to stay on the right side of the law. Boom! Booyaka! Oh, no, you didn't!
Well, that's the undercard I want to see at your fight is Madonna and Angelina Jolie.
We're trying to talk Lisa May and producer Alex and doing a pillow fight for the undercard.
Oh, absolutely. I think we can do that.
Fantastic.
They have leagues now in Canada. They have pillow fight leagues where chicks dress up in interesting costumes and clothing and go at each other with pillows.
We're going to get a K-Rock team right after we get a K-Rock Stomp the Yard team.
Really? The band gets back together?
We're going to go to Nationals.
Kevin, you with your big mouth and your freaking Stomp the Yard that you won't shut up about, why don't you bring your little step team as some of the pre-fight entertainment
there
on that
we go.
Morning?
We'll make like an extravaganza out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Think I won't? Where are you from? Only in America. The white steppers and women eat each other with pillows and fat guys boxing.
All right. We need Don
King. Most pathetic athletic event ever in the history of mankind.
And then we get Mike
to do some posing. We get the old posing trunks out, and Mike does a quick routine, a little bodybuilding routine for us.
I'd like to switch off rounds as ring boy with Miss Double December.
There we go.
Yeah, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. We want to make Miss Double December hide someplace so Mike can get out there in a bikini.
What about unveiling Stryker's tail at that event? What about that? Wow. What about people come down and pay their $10 to see his tail, too?
What, are you going to put him in a tent like a freak show and have people walk through for $10?
Absolutely.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Yeah, there's a lot
to
think about.
Has everything.
A lot to think about.
Yep.
In Touch magazine has kicked off their new year with a list of the best legs in Hollywood.
Petros.
Oh, best legs.
Petros Papadakis, yes, number one.
My legs are spectacular. Well, I think Stacey Keibler comes to mind as the first one that I thought of who has just phenomenal, incredible legs.
An excellent guess, being she comes in at number 5 in the top 10.
Jessica Biel,
not in the top 10, Psycho Mike.
Rosie O'Donnell.
-100 on the list.
All right. Yeah.
Who else has the great legs?
Here's the top 10. Eva Longoria.
Oh, sure.
Number 10 on the list. She does have some great legs. Number 9. Catherine McPhee. Number 9 on the list.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know her legs.
Yeah, I know her legs.
I never watched that show.
I know her legs.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera.
Sure.
Number 8. Carrie Underwood, surprisingly, number 7.
I don't know her legs either. I don't watch that show.
Number 6.
Dress to show really those off, does she?
No, it's because Jesus has her wheel, that's why.
I understand, yeah.
Halle Berry, number 6.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Stacey Keibler, as I mentioned,
being
guest number 5. Vanessa Minnillo, number 4.
Sure.
Number 3, Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Well, Sharon Stone looked fantastic in the breakup.
You look at her pins. Yep. She's got it going on.
Yeah,
nice sticks.
She's got some sticks?
Mm-hmm. Nice pins.
Nice
rods.
I think I saw that movie.
Nice girders. You know what I'm saying?
I think we get it.
Number 2, Gisele Bündchen.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Supermodel. And number 1,
Oprah Winfrey.
No, she's not number 1 on.
Hmm.
Charlize Theron, everybody.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Why am I the only one clapping?
Well, we should all be. But
there we go.
I think it was implied.
Whatever happened to Charlize? Remember Charlize used to come on our show all the time?
Yeah.
She'd call in, she'd pop in, she'd sit down with us, she'd chat, we'd spend time together.
I don't know, maybe you scared her away.
Hardly. She loves me.
Yeah.
But she's not coming around anymore. We got to invite her on.
Okay.
Even though she has nothing to plug. Maybe now that she's not, you know, working so hard on publicizing films and everything, she has some time.
Tell us about your
sticks. Locally.
We can ask her that.
Invite her in just to hang out with us.
Okay.
Maybe she can do sports.
Fine with me. traffic. News, traffic, my part, your part. I don't care who she replaces.
I don't either.
She could have a whole damn morning show.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Drea Di Matteo, who played Adrian on The Sopranos, is 35 years old today. Katie Sagal. What the hell happened there?
You're right, that was just a piece of paper mishap. I don't know why that was so loud. Sorry.
I thought maybe you were swiping flies away. I thought maybe you were going to hit your face by accident. Katie Sagal, married with children, 50 years old today. Dolly Parton, singer in Gigantic Hoots, is 61. And Michael Crawford, who, of course, spent many years playing the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. And now he's,
not.
I'm pretty sure he's a bellhop at the Bellagio.
Is that right?
In Vegas right now. I'm pretty sure I gave him my roll on. I took it to my room. It is kind of sad. He's 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Ralph at his wedding and Psycho Mike at his wedding had a chocolate fountain. And
yeah.
I was obsessed with that. So Bean got me a chocolate fountain for Christmas.
Oh, how cool.
So we were looking for a way to use it, and we have a friend who's moving to Brazil, so we had a whole bunch of people over for dinner last night, and we were going to have this huge dinner, and we got the chocolate fountain. Now we put it together. The chocolate was, like, flowing by, like, 4 p.m.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that sounds great.
Plates of, fruit and angel food cake and all kinds of stuff like that that you can put under the chocolate fountain. So we were going to have a fondue. That mm-hmm. was, we were going to keep with the theme. Now, my wife is a huge perfectionist. I mean, when she has a dinner, everything is perfect. It's the exact polar opposite of me. Like, I just throw stuff out there. She has all the plates match, the silverware match, the napkins, but the napkin holders and the mm-hmm. tablecloth. It's all just spotless perfect.
It's funny to hear you say your wife is a perfectionist, considering the one area in her life which is so important that she really didn't care who she married.
She had bad taste in guys. That's
does seem
that's
like her. That is the opposite of being a perfectionist.
So she spends the whole day getting everything perfect for the dinner party. And I don't know if you've ever had fondue, but it's those pots of oil that you boil. You got the little lighters underneath it, and it lights them on fire. And then you have plates of chicken or shrimp or whatever, and you stab them with a little fork and you put it in. And you kind of cook your own food.
Yeah, they're different sauces, different flavored sauces that you can use depending on whether you're having chicken or fish or beef or whatever.
And then you got the chocolate fountain that's just sitting
that's
over
what
there.
Forward to.
That by sounds
like,
awesome.
By like 4 o'clock, just flowing, just hot, steamy chocolate. Just I just wanted to just put my head underneath it. I was so excited about that. So she gets everything perfect, and then everybody comes over, and she says to me, "Do you think you could be in charge of lighting the fondue pots?"
Okay.
Oh.
And I say, "What am I, retarded? You don't think I could do that?" And she said, "No, I didn't mean it that way. I just, you know, do you think?" "Yes, of course I could do that. Don't be ridiculous." So I go in and I light the pots on fire, you know, whatever, right. Those little lighter things on fire. And I go back in and start talking. About a half hour later, I go in and the lights are out. The lamp.
All
of
them?
All the fire's gone. And the oil's cold. So now everybody's starting to ask, "Hey, you know, what time's dinner?" Meanwhile, chocolate fountain just mocking me. So I light them again, and then, you know, I go back maybe 15, 20 minutes later, just cold oil. Just the oil's not even the slightest bit
warm.
The
sauces, you mean?
No, the oil that you cook the food in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has to be boiling oil so you can put the food in and cook it.
Oh, okay.
And you got the little, like, cans of gelatin or whatever that you light on fire, and that's supposed to heat up the oil.
Right.
Well, I didn't read the instructions, and this particular kind of pot, you're supposed to put water underneath the container of oil, so the water will boil, and then it'll all get... Well, I didn't have any water because I didn't read the instructions. So an hour and a half later, there's cold oil. We have cold oil now.
Hour and a half later?
Now, and I had been mouthing off, don't talk to me like I'm retarded. Of course I can do this.
And how many people are standing around not eating at this point?
Oh, probably 15, 17.
Oh, my God.
Something like that.
And every one of them is saying, A, I'm hungry, and B, this is the lamest dinner I've ever been to.
And look at that goddamn fountain of chocolate. Look at that. Let's just dig into that. And so I'm trying to figure out what can I do. I made an idiot out of myself. I said I could do it. The oil's cold. It's not working. So I took all the oil and I put it into a pot on the stove, figuring that I could turn that on, heat up the oil. And I was trying to figure out what could I do. You know what I could do? I could take the plates of food. This thought actually came into my head. Take the plates of food off of the table. Cook them in the boiling oil, then put the food back on the table cooked. Then everybody can come in. They'll put it in cold oil, but it's already cooked, so it's fine. That was the thought that came to my mind. And then I thought, well, no, that's stupid. So that's not going to work. So
you're way beyond asking for help from somebody else.
Oh,
right?
God, I can't for a second ask for help.
You try to save face. Okay. Yeah.
So now we're 2 hours in, and everyone's starving. They're just looking at me like, if I could just eat my arm, I would be happy right now. So I got the boiling oil, and I think to myself, okay, I'm going to pour the oil out of the ones on the table, and I'm going to take this pot of boiling oil at this point.
Yeah.
Boiling like that.
And
I'm going to pour it into the pots. I'm going to cheat. The oil is going to be boiling when I put it on the flame.
Okay.
Splashed oil just all over the kitchen, me. I got like third-degree burns inside my ear.
I don't know
what the hell I'm doing. There's oil everywhere all over the floor now.
Jesus.
And it's like 2.5 hours later, and the chocolate's mocking me. It's just pouring chocolate. Everybody just looking at the chocolate going, please just let us eat anything. But I now have poured the boiling oil everywhere. So there's no boiling oil for the pots or anything.
Really?
So I ordered pizza.
Are you serious?
Called and ordered pizza. Then we sat at the table and watched for headlights for an hour.
Waiting for
the pizza guy. Oh, there's a car. Hey, there's a car right there. Oh, it's driving by.
Oh, my God.
Hey, there's some headlights. Oh, it's driving by. Meanwhile, chocolate flowing. An hour later, we got our pizza.
Oh, this is the saddest dinner party ever.
And everything was perfect except for my tiny little part.
So you got all this raw food you can't eat.
Got this oil going on in my eyes.
The oil all over the floor.
All over the floor, the kitchen. There's no oil to be had.
I would leave you. If I were Melissa, I would leave.
So we ate pizza. And then I think it was midnight, we finally dug into the chocolate, which was very good.
Dude, she should move to Brazil with those people.
Yes.
She really should.
Everyone that was at that dinner should probably do that.
You know, if Stomp the Yard is the number one film in America, as it is this week.
We
truly are living in the golden age of cinema.
I mean,
it really doesn't get any better. And so many choices. How will you decide? That's why it's Friday morning. Ralph Garman's here with the Movie Beat.
Movie Beat.
Hey everybody, a big weekend of the movies. There's two new movies.
Just two
new movies.
Two good ones?
Yeah.
Only two total? Talk about?
No, just two.
There's never been a weekend with two movies.
Well, it is that dead space between the first of the year and the Oscars.
But they unload all the bad ones. They ran out of bad ones already?
I find that hard to believe.
Where's Stomp the Yard again? That should be coming out this weekend.
Well, here's the movie we're most looking forward to. The Italian, a Russian film about the very real problem of illegal adoption in Russia.
Wait a minute. That's one of the two?
This is about a 6-year-old orphan who escapes to try to find his birth mother while avoiding the corrupt orphanage headmaster and the adoption broker trying to sell him to the highest bidder. I'll tell you, this looks awesome. Here's a little clip. This is where the broker and the adoption agency guy are talking about the fact that this kid is gone and what they're going to do. Right. Well, as you imagine, the couple that's trying to come to the orphanage to pick up the child, they're distraught because they don't have the kid. The kid is runaway, trying to find his birth mother.
Right.
And that leads to a very, very dramatic scene.
Детьми за доллары торгуют. Пропадает страна. Знаешь, сколько у нас грудничков сейчас?
Russian. Ralph.
Почти два десятка.
We can't see what they're saying.
Yeah.
Radio.
Right. Well, as you can imagine, the power brokers in Russia are not too happy with the behavior of the headmaster letting this kid get out of their grip, especially with his disappointed people willing to pay the high dollar for this 6-year-old.
We can't understand the clips.
And there's hell to be paid.
Какие-то такие запчасти? Ну, на пересадку органов. Глаза, почки. Или рук с топором трубил. Но нужна же новая рука. Нет, мне сразу и такие не понравились.
Rafa,
эти, может, и нормальные.
An amazing performance from Kolya Spitarov there.
What's the other movie? Maybe we could just move on to the second film that's available this weekend. Perhaps.
We don't understand any of this.
You're missing the most dramatic part, though.
They're in Russia.
I know, but we don't have time for more of the Russian guy.
One more quick, real quick.
Через четыре остановки. Ты что, один едешь?
Нет, отцом. Спит.
Выпил, что ли?
Другом встретились. В армии не виделись.
Ничего дальше, конечно, не проедете.
How heartwarming is that?
Wow.
Was that I didn't know it was going to end like... Was that not crazy?
I didn't know it was going to end like that.
See?
I apologize.
Now you know why I played it.
That was touching.
Also opening today is The Hitcher, starring Sophia Bush, Sean Bean,
He plays the bad dude. Rutger Hauer played in the original. They pick him up, and that turns out to be a mistake.
Yeah.
Picking this guy up as a hitchhiker. After getting in an accident, almost killing the hitcher, they notice that dude's just standing there in the middle of the road.
You okay?
Yeah. Oh, you almost killed him.
I'm gonna go see if he's okay.
What? Why?
Grace, we're in the middle of nowhere. We can't just leave that guy out here. We gotta see if he's okay.
That guy is just standing there, Jim. He's not even moving. What kind of freak just stands in the middle of the road and doesn't even flinch?
Yeah, that's a bad sign right there.
Bad freaks. Yeah.
Then the hitcher's in the car with the couple.
Yeah.
And they talk about whether he's trustworthy or not.
Strangers think I'm trustworthy. Aren't you? No.
Oh, dude. That guy is in your car.
That's when I drive right into a pylon.
You know, I forgot to bring this up with the lovely Sophia Bush because I had too many questions about her dead dog's eye. But
her dog is alive, B.
Yeah. Whatever.
Just doesn't have an eye.
Isn't there some sort of gratuitous nude shower scene or something in this movie? Did we hear something about that last week?
I don't know. I haven't
seen
it.
We see Sophia's Bush or something? I mean,
hey. Oh, for goodness sakes.
I
don't know. I haven't seen it. But I do know, like a woman, she bitches at the most inappropriate times.
We should have gone home when we had the chance.
Oh, come on. Don't blame this on me, all right? It's not my fault.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Why'd you have to offer the guy a ride?
I didn't offer him a ride. He asked for one. Right? That stupid hit clerk brought it up.
And you agree.
Yeah. Well, what else was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to know he was a sick lunatic?
You could have just listened to me.
Oh, yeah. Shut up.
Those are my favorite
now
words.
Now you got all the answers.
Guy's trying to kill us, and she's bitching about what I did in the past. That's the girlfriend role. Oh, I hope he kills her. I hope the hitcher just kills her. And then him and the regular guy go off and have a beer afterwards.
I did you a favor. I killed your girlfriend.
Thanks, hitcher. Come on. Let's let me buy you a beer. Let's go. Let's go down to a local pub. What do you say?
So those...
Shoot some pool.
That's the total number of movies coming out today.
The Italian... Well, I can play some more clips from the Italian, that Russian movie.
No. We got that. We're
and
fine.
And the Hitcher. Those are your options. Russian movie. Hitcher, Russian movie. I'm torn.
Fortunately, as we said last week, there's so many great holiday releases that most of us haven't caught up. I want to go see Letters from Iwo Jima. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. I haven't seen The Children of Men yet.
I haven't seen Babel yet. I haven't seen Little Children yet with Kate Winslet.
What the hell are they doing?
The stomp in the yard. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm not that hard up for movies to go see.
Come on, where are you from, Ralph?
Yeah, where are you from?
You're stomping the yard.
Stomp something else in a minute. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
So, Heroes is a TV show that was on in what, Ralph? The late 90s, early part of this century?
Oh,
I don't remember
stop.
The last time I...
They took a little break for the holidays.
Doesn't it seem like it's been off for like months, though? I barely remember the story anymore.
It seems like it's normal now that they take like 2 months or something in between over the Christmas break.
I mean, you barely remember the story.
I barely remember. I have no idea where we are.
The new episode starts
on Monday. I don't know where we are in the story. What's going to pick up? Right, I know we're getting ready to talk to Zachary Quinto, the actor who plays Sylar, here in just a moment. We'll get him on the phone. Where are we?
The show is Heroes. It's fantastic. It's a brand new show this year or last year. I mean, I should say. But Ralph, catch us up on who the people are.
Well, you got Claire Bennett. She is the cheerleader in Texas who can heal spontaneously. She regenerates her cells.
It's real life. It's not cartoonish or anything. It's just what if people had superhero powers?
It's like a comic book superhero come to life. If they were in the real world, how would they exist?
Yeah.
Right. And you've got Hero, of course, who can bend time and space. He can transport himself to and from through location and time, which is cool.
Yeah.
You've got Moretti, what the hell's the guy's name? The senator who can fly.
Sure.
The senator wannabe. His brother Peter, who apparently, whoever he's near, he can absorb their energies and their powers, and he sort of gets sympathetic powers to whoever he's near.
Well, he can fly if he's near his brother.
Exactly. He can. Okay. He won't die if he's near Claire, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But at the end of the series, before they took the break, Peter has a shocking realization / dream that he is going to be responsible for the devastating nuclear blast in New York City.
Which has
been... He blames himself.
The guy who can paint when he's on heroin... That guy,
Isaac Wright, who sees the future and paints the future.
He painted a huge explosion
and
in New York
Hero
City.
Sees it. He travels through time, goes back, goes forward in time in New York City,
right.
And sees the blast, and he knows he has to save the city. So that's been his passion, traveling around with his friend as they go across the country from Vegas. And you've also got Nikki, the stripper, who has a split personality. She channels her dead sister.
Right.
And so there's a lot going on. But Siler is the evil villain who apparently... was furious because he thought he wasn't special initially when the professor, the Indian professor, was going around trying to find all these genetic mutants.
Right, trying to find all of the people who had these special powers and why. And
he discovered his powers. He can absorb the other powers. He can collect them and amass them and become more and more powerful. And apparently, from what they're telling us, you have to kind of infer this, but he devours their brains.
He opens up their skull and eats their brains.
And by ingesting their brains, ingests their power. And now he is after one by one. He's going through the list of heroes, trying to knock them all off and steal their powers by eating them.
People in their car right now listening to your description of this television show, and they think you must be effing with them.
Greatest show ever.
It does sound ridiculous, but they do such a great job of making it. What if this was really going on in our society? They do such a good job.
And such a good job of juggling these plot lines. As you can imagine, each of these heroes has their own separate story. You've got Greg Grunberg from Alias, who plays a cop who can read minds, who can hears people's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got another dude who's radioactive, gave his wife cancer because he admits radiation when he gets upset. And apparently there's going to be a new hero introduced this evening, apparently. Another one to add to the list.
Monday.
As they go through the list of heroes that...
Because theoretically, they're popping up all over the world.
That's right. Because
we haven't seen them all
so
yet.
There's mass and more mutation happening throughout the world right now.
So there's more and more coming. This is not just a limited number.
Apparently, yes.
I got you.
Well, we're out of time now, but I very much enjoyed speaking with Zachary Quinto, the fine actor who plays Siler, and you can see him on Monday night on Heroes.
So he eats their brains, is what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, apparently he's busy eating brains right now.
Now
he's got a full mouth, he can't answer the phone.
Is he also the black smoke that whipped Echo across the island? Is that the same? Does
Gilligan.
He play the same dude? Or
that's Lost.
Lost is so 2005, man. It's all about the heroes now.
That's another guy.
I saw the Lost preview last night for that coming back, and my wife looked at me and she said, I think I'm done with it. I think I'd rather just watch Heroes again. So
there you go.
I think Heroes has moved into that slot. But we are excited to welcome the man behind Siler on the phone with us, finally, Zachary Quinto. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. It's actually Quinto.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
We had that debate for many days now, Zachary.
I bet you did.
We were wrong.
15 times how to say your last name, and we got Quinto.
And that's what's great about this show is the man that we went to get the definitive answer for us failed us. That's what we love about this program. So, well, Zachary, we were just having a conversation, kind of catching people up who maybe haven't been watching Heroes. It's not too late for people who haven't been on board so far to check it out when it comes back on Monday, right?
It's never too late.
Now, how did you get involved with this? Did you read the script somehow and say, I have to be a part of it? Did they come to you and say, we have this great juicy role that, no pun intended, that we want you to play? How did it work?
This started out basically as just another audition for me. I got a call that I had an appointment for the show Heroes, which hadn't even started airing yet. So I had read the pilot script last year, even though I was tied up with another show. I couldn't do it, but right. I was aware of it, and I was actually really drawn to the nature of the show. And once I read the script and realized what the role was, I was totally hooked and all about it. I just went after it 100%. And
when you met with the producer, Zachary, did they give you an idea that Siler would be expanded? Because initially he was just sort of this dark, shadowy figure that we never really saw or heard from.
Yeah, well, I came in to the job right as it was about to be expanded. I mean, they had built up the anticipation of the character, and I think they had a sense for where it was going to go, at least initially. And then once I stepped into it, it's sort of taken it into a whole other realm and new directions that maybe they didn't expect. This is often the case when you have an actual person step into something, it takes on a new life than it has when it's just on the page.
So they took your personal characteristics and said, we got to have this guy eat brains.
Well, it started, yeah, right.
Right? No. Okay. So,
like that.
So tell us about how long are you going to be on the show? Are you going to be a full-time character?
I'm not exactly sure yet. You know, I know that I'm on through episode 16, 17 is where we're working now. So, you know, there's that stuff going on. And then where it goes from here remains to be seen. It definitely evolves. You know, you get to know writers, you get to know producers, they get to know what you bring to the role. And then that sort of gives them some ideas about where they could take it that maybe they didn't have initially. So, I mean, I'd be happy to stay around as long as they'll have me. So I guess it all remains to be seen, you know.
It looks like so much fun as an actor, too, to have this kind of role where you sometimes get to play, you know, the mild-mannered watchmaker, and then other times you get to play the, you know, the crazy animal. I mean, yeah, you're just all over the place, which has to be so much fun for you.
Yeah, it is such a gift. I mean, it's like what we sort of, it's what we do it for, you know. It's to have as many different experiences as you can and to go as far, you know, as far on different places of the map as you can possibly. And this job just gives me an opportunity to do that within the same job, which is like, you know, once in a blue moon. So.
You know, when we've had your cast members on and we've talked to people from other shows, like Lost, we mentioned right before you came on, people shows that people get obsessed with, shows that people think about when they're not watching them. It must be so odd for you as the actor, because you have to run into Heroes fans all the time who just do nothing but pester you with, hey, answer my questions about the show.
Well, I feel lucky. I haven't been too pestered, but the interesting thing about my character is that people tend to be, you know, a little more standoffish, a little more intimidated when they see me because I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to be in person.
Yeah, they're scared to death of
you. Usually you're cutting people's skulls open. That's why, exactly.
Yeah, so they're not quite as ready, easy to walk up to, whatever. But but I've been yelled at much more as this playing this role as any other role.
Is that right?
So don't want to get so close, but they still want to, like,
don't eat the cheerleader's brain, whatever you do. Leave Claire alone.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think, at least the shows that have aired so far, we haven't seen Sylar with either the cheerleader or the stripper yet, right?
Yeah, he was chasing her in the school.
I was chasing down the cheerleader.
That's right.
And Peter saved her life, and then Jack Coleman, who's great on the show, plays Mr. Ben, and he kind of took Sylar in, and you've had some great scenes with him back and forth, Zachary, I'll tell you.
It was really great to work with Jack. I mean, I just feel like he just totally feeds you as an actor. You know, working opposite him is really, it keeps you on your toes because nothing's ever the same. And it's really he's an enormously talented guy. I really like him a lot.
It is a terrific cast, and as the guys mentioned, they do such a good job of keeping all the storylines up in the air and making them seem realistic, despite how far fetched and outrageous the premise is. That's the real beauty of the show. I mean, and they also move it along, which is also awesome. I mean, you really feel at the end of Heroes like something happened in the plot, which is nice.
And then a lot of questions get answered. It's not like, you know, you're waiting 3 months to get the answer to one question. You get those answers, and then new ones are presented, and it keeps you hooked for that. You know, and it's sort of like, sort of just more compact and more action packed.
So we don't have the lost blue balls like we did.
Exactly.
We do with that show. A thousand questions and no answers.
Right.
Hopefully we won't give you any blue balls.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Zach. We appreciate it.
All right. It is coming back Monday night, 9 o'clock on NBC. The return of Heroes. Finally, it's been too long. Zachary Quinto, our guest, he plays Sylar on the show. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be here. Have a good morning.
Thank you. All right. Before we get to the showbiz beat, Ralph, Bean, please tell us what site you were on just a second ago. What was the name of the site you were on the web?
Well, as you know, there are specialty sites.
Name?
Say it!
For pretty much any taste that you might have.
Name of the site, sir.
And I just, through a series of clicks, you start out one point, you end up at another place, you don't know how you got there. I somehow ended up on ChineseGirlsWithHerpes.org. I don't know how it happened, but that's a specialty site right there. Because, if you're into, like, Japanese girls with genital warts, no! Not the site for you. This is that much of a specialty.
How do you end up there ever?
It is. You click here, you click there. The next thing you know, you're on
8:15
doing it with rhinos.com. I mean, I don't know how it works.
It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Oh, God.
Thank God it's Friday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Lindsay Lohan in rehab as of yesterday. Now all kinds of details emerging on the internet, which means it's all speculation, rumor, but I love it nonetheless.
Sure.
About exactly what happened. Of course, we all heard about the story where Lindsay was reportedly passed out in the hallway of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel after Prince's party following the Golden Globes. Now, what they don't mention is that Lindsay apparently has been partying not only with booze, but along with the painkilling medication that they gave her on the way out of the hospital last week. All that has led to absences from the set of her current movie, I Know Who Killed Me. Reportedly, producers and some of her handlers got together and pulled an intervention because she was missing so much shooting time that the producers were threatening to sue her to the tune of $3 to $5 million if she didn't clean up her act.
Wow.
So, in essence, Lindsay relented and was pressured into the Wonderland Center rather than going there under her own free accord. If you know anything about recovery, that's the way to do it.
That sticks that way.
Do it for someone else, they say.
Yeah.
You can't do it until you do it for someone else. I think that's one of the mottos they have in the 5-step programs.
And don't do anything longer than 3 days.
That's right. Too. Kevin heard that it was a 3-day program. I hadn't heard that, but if that's the case, then she's really on her way. Dina Lohan
repulsive mother and manager of Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, I hate her.
Has released the following statement regarding Lindsay's step into rehab. I'm so proud of her. She's really in a good place right now, spiritually and mentally.
No.
She's an amazing, phenomenal place. She's 20 years old, she's solid, and she's doing what she needs to.
Right.
I don't know that many people that are that secure. It's all about her and getting back on track. She's fine. She's amazingly fine. Wow.
How dumb.
Look at that naked emperor over there.
Yeah. How dumb does she think everyone is?
She also added, Lindsay and I love the trailer. We want to buy the trailer.
Inside joke of all time.
Right. That was just for you guys.
However, James Brown has never felt better.
Yeah. That's right. James Brown, still on his coffee table at home, by the way.
Yep.
Still has not
Did
been
they
buried.
No forget burial. About him? Are they even discussing it anymore? Or they just decided just to leave him there?
They're just going to lock the door. They're going to hang up one of those Renews It scent strips or whatever. One of those one of those deals you plug in with the fan. Just kind of keep the smell down and just go about their lives. They're done with him. Oh, sad news. I feel bad. Elvis is dead.
What?
I never heard about this, but Pink and Carrie Hart have a bulldog named Elvis.
Oh, no.
They found Elvis. Well, here's the thing. Elvis took a swim, apparently, in their pool.
Yeah.
Hmm. And was not the strongest of canine swimmers.
Oh, you're
That's
kidding.
Yeah.
So sad.
Ah. They fished the dog out and tried to save it, but they couldn't. So Elvis has left the doghouse.
Bean will be asking in detail questions on Monday of those people.
What did the dog look like? How much water did it swallow? Which lung was more filled?
That's terrible. You know, Tater Tot is a pretty good swimmer, but I don't know how she could get out of a pool on her own. You know, I don't know how she could pull herself up. Bulldogs do not exactly have a jumping body.
The gift, the dog was a gift to Pink and Carrie Hart from Lisa Marie Presley. Hence,
no
they
kidding.
Called him Elvis. That's where he came from.
Hmm.
I think it's bad luck calling a dog Elvis. It's a guy who died on the toilet. You know what I'm saying?
That's not exactly the role model.
I would name the dog after someone who's either still alive or someone who had a long and healthy life. That's what I would say. What do I know? That's just me. And Al Pacino, my buddy Al, has signed up for a new film. Daily Variety's announced he's going to play Salvador Dali. That's going to be awesome.
Salvador Dali.
I'm familiar with Dali at all. He was a modernist painter who did all kinds of kooky, wacky painting stuff. Like, you ever see that painting of time with the clocks sort of bent and sliding off, like they're liquid sliding off the edges of buildings and whatnot?
No.
Hmm.
I'm sure it's famous, though.
It is sort of famous.
Talking about
it was probably in one of the hallways of the Louvre that you ran past as you were sprinting to get out of there on vacation.
Anyway, he was a weirdo. He was just a stone-cold weirdo.
He was crazy, yeah.
Had a big mustache with wax on the end.
Oh, I like
and a
that.
Big circular mustache, yep. Wild-eyed lunatic. So Al Pacino playing this guy, that's going to be fun.
That could be wild.
Looking forward to it.
My favorite thing about Salvador Dali, Ralph, you probably heard this story too, is that he used to claim that he could have a completely refreshing full nap in that he would go to sleep with a spoon in his hand. And he would claim that in the time, you know, when he finally fell asleep and relaxed enough to drop the spoon, he would sleep while the spoon was going down to the floor, and then it would hit the floor and would wake him up. And he would say that period of time is all he needed to feel completely refreshed.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about.
I love this guy.
He also was a filmmaker, an experimental filmmaker, too. And he did a movie called The Andalusian Dog. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
no.
there's a famous black and white scene of a woman getting her eye opened up with a straight razor.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah.
powerful image. So
yes.
He did a lot. He did a lot in motion pictures and the fine arts and painting. Interesting
That's
fella.
Going to be a wild movie.
Should be a good movie. Have you sold, Kevin?
I'm sorry?
Never mind. What if he stomped?
And
what
he stomped the yard.
If he stomped the yard, I'm fine. Yeah, or if he ghost rides the car, whatever you call that, then I'm fine. Then I'm in.
Ghost riding the whip? Right.
Yeah, the whip, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dre Di Matteo played Adrian on The Sopranos at 35 years old today. Dolly Parton, Zoftic singer, is 61 years old today. And Katie Sagal, Peg from Married with Children. She did that Eight Simple Rules show and also was seen on Lost most recently. I worked on her house with Adam Carolla.
Really?
We did some construction work for her house.
Yeah.
Back in the day when we were both penniless, and Adam actually had work.
Nailer?
Nailer? No, we put like Sask. Put new knobs on her or something.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
I mean, on her kitchen.
Oh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is not a good impression.
Hi, Kevin. This is the one. I just wanted to call and thank you for breaking up Drew Barrymore and Fabrizio Moretti.
Yeah, that's not good. But it is the Kevin Beat Afroline 323-520-AFRO answer machine we set up just for you to call and get on the air.
Here's why you shouldn't smoke too much pot.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Merry Christmas, Kevin and Bean.
Okay, thanks. Did I tell you guys about the dude I saw on the 10 freeway on Wednesday?
I don't think so. No.
Right after the meeting, right after the 20-hour Mr. Weatherby meeting, I'm driving on the 10 freeway near Santa Monica, and a guy pulls up next to me in this totally just beat-up old green Toyota.
Right.
And I look over, because you're going slow enough, you know, you're going 5 miles an hour on the 10 at that time of day, and he's got a giant bong, and he is just smoking out in traffic on the 10 freeway.
Did Kevin you give,
citizen of the day.
Did you give the international roll down your window and don't Bogart sign?
I should have. I didn't. But I laughed out loud when I saw that. Because you always think, you know, people are on their phone or they're doing their makeup or they're, you know, reading the magazine or something. This guy had the bong with him in the car.
He was prepared. That's a guy who doesn't get upset in traffic.
Yep,
you're
right.
You're absolutely
right. He looked pretty mellow. His eyes looked kind of bloodshot, but he looked pretty mellow.
We're talking about drink boxing. It's a new sport that we've created, where you do a shot, then you box. Mm-hmm. And Ralph's going to box Dave, the King of Mexico.
This is for Dave, the King of Mexico, you know, because he's like the coolest freaking person in K-Rock, you know, Kevin and Bean. No one knows who they are. Everyone knows who Dave, the King of Mexico is, right? Am I right? Am I right, Dave? Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, Dave's the
that's drink Afro calling is what that is.
Dave's the he's the Clippers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, I might just point out. Yesterday we had Omar in the studio, and he's got a strangely strong hatred of this chick on the cooking channel that I've rarely even heard of, Rachel Ray, and he hates her so much that he's cutting her picture out and all kinds of stuff.
Hey, Omar, freak show. Why on earth would we listen to anything that you have to say about a cook when you like Uncrustables? Lazy bitch.
Ooh, bringing up the Uncrustables.
Yeah, great
wow.
Uncrustable debate.
Wow.
That's true.
Clever.
That is true.
I didn't get to listen to the show this morning about Rachel Ray and the rant that everyone was just bitching about Rachel Ray and how everyone hates her.
But you agree?
She was the greatest thing that ever happened. You.
Dude.
A fan.
Wow. Greatest thing that ever happened.
Well, maybe
better than Jesus?
Cook and
wow. Better than Jesus. Yes.
Come on.
Hey,
put
Omar.
It in context.
Omar. You know what? How about we do it and say we go to that, what's that lady's name? No, the one you hate. The one that came on the stupid box of whipped pins.
Yeah.
How about you and I go to the pad, we take Stryker with us, and we'll hang her with Stryker's tail, and then we'll cut her and slice her in little pieces and stick her in her own damn box.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Dexter, for the call. We appreciate that.
We talked to Sylar last hour. My God.
The K-Rock fans always looking out for us.
Hey, Bean, I just saw a billboard that said Gordon Lightfoot is going to be playing at Pechanga next month. And I thought you might want to know because you're gay like that.
How excited are you, Bean?
Let me tell you something about Gordon Lightfoot, who I have seen in concert in the last couple of years. He does not cheat his fans. He always performs the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald, greatest song ever.
The worst song that has ever been recorded in the history of music.
He does it every show, all
wow,
7 minutes of it.
That's a bonus. We had LaQuisha on the show, and she was talking about a TV show called Armed and Famous. And LaToya Jackson was one of the people that's on the show. And I mistakenly referred to LaQuisha as LaToya.
Thank you, LaToya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this note about television tonight. If you saw Trading Spouses when it was originally on and we gave you this woman, do you remember this woman?
What?
Dork Saturn!
She's not a Christian! She's tampering in Dork Saturn stuff! Yes! Yes! She did!
That woman.
Oh, I love her. Margaret Perrin. Love her.
Very important TV update.
Hey, Kevin, I heard that Marguerite, God Warrior, is going to be on a new Trading Spouses this Friday on Marguerite
yes.
Day.
A new one?
Yes.
Yes. A new episode. She was such a ratings magnet, they put her back on the show. She goes to live with another family that obviously she disapproves of. This woman is so filled with the Holy Spirit that she really just hates everything that's not God.
Wow.
She yells at everyone. She's out of her freaking mind. And it's not a repeat, it's a new one.
I can't believe she's coming back.
I can't either.
Awesome.
So you got to make sure and tune in to see that show. It is spectacular. 323-520 AFRO is the number 24 hours a day.
We got to figure out what's going on with this strange commercial that we've been playing on K-Rock. You know, I first heard it a couple of days ago and I thought, I don't even get that. So I went back and listened to the whole thing again and I still don't think I understand what it is they're talking about.
Look, here's the deal. We make fun of commercials that are on K-Rock and we always get in trouble. But you can't put this commercial in front of us. It's like we're starving children and you're giving me food. You can't expect us not to go after this one.
You have to know.
How do you put this commercial on K-Rock and expect us not to talk about it? Listen to this.
Hi, this is Jennifer Lopez, and I'm inviting you to get into a whole new way to glow. It's Glow After Dark, my wild, sexy, breathless new fragrance.
Wild, okay. Sexy, breathless new fragrance.
So clearly she's got perfume that she's hawking. That's the thing. I understand that. I got a new perfume. But
and the perfume is breathless.
Yeah, but what does it mean, a whole new way to glow? That doesn't have anything to do with what you smell like, does it?
I think that's the name of her thing. That's
the name of her perfume.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So she's going to teach you. Come on, Bean. Where are you from?
You're saying this doesn't all make perfect sense?
All right, yes. Here's some more.
Made for girls like you who come out to play when the sun goes down and the music gets turned way up.
Yeah.
So go ahead, get the party started. Slip into my new fragrance.
Slip into my fragrance.
Okay.
Like a pair of clothes.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Glow After Dark. Do you have what it takes to be a glow girl?
Okay, now we're moving into something else, because this is not just about the perfume. Now, do you have what it takes to be a glow girl?
I don't know. What do I
but
need
isn't,
to do?
Isn't anyone glow? Puts on glow perfume, isn't she a glow girl? I mean, that's all you have to do to be a glow girl, right?
You don't get it, man. You don't get it, if you have to ask.
Come down to Macy's at the Stonewood Center in Downey on January 20th to audition for the online reality webisode.
Okay, now, first of all, that's tomorrow, the 20th, and you're auditioning for an online webisode.
You can't even tell how someone smells on a webisode.
So that's not even TV, that's not cable, that's just on the web.
All right.
And you have to audition for that.
Yeah.
If you can glow.
How do you audition to see how you smell? And what kind of reality show is that?
So disappointed in you. You glow. You glow.
It.
You show how
I
you
don't
glow.
Understand it.
You show how you glow. What do you think?
You don't we glow. Asked, that's why you don't from? Understand.
We asked producer Lightning to get
I'm
us
I'm not
J-Lo.
Done. You wish I was done.
The Glow There's After more? Dark Show. This exclusive event is the only opportunity to audition live for this wild, sexy, and breathless new online reality experience. Open to the first 100 registrants who will also receive a free Glow After Dark gift. Oh. Come out to show the world how you glow. Registration begins at 10 a.m. and auditions begin at noon. Complete official rules available at Macy's on January 20th or at glowafterdarkshow.com.
See? So you got to show the world how you glow, Bean.
How do you audition to
you
see how you
glow.
Smell in her perfume?
For God's but sakes, you glow.
That's not a show. We asked producer Lightning to line up Jennifer Lopez for us, and unfortunately, Ms. Lopez is not available. However, our old friend, J-Lo's ass, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us on the Kevin
it's been
and
so long.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
We're good.
Well, long time. It seems like ever since J-Lo married Mark Anthony, you guys just, you are almost never seen in public anymore.
Yeah, I know. I've been keeping a low profile since Jenny hooked up with Anthony Michael Hall, whoever it is.
Mark Anthony. Mark
yeah,
Anthony,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. You sound like you put on a few pounds there, J-Lo's ass.
Hey, didn't you see me at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
I'm getting huge.
Yeah, you really
yeah,
are.
I did notice. You have expanded, yeah.
Yeah, bigger than usual.
So how do you like the new J-Lo, who basically is kind of a homebody, just staying at home, not going to the parties anymore, not, on the red carpets and dating the rappers? I mean, what's it like for you?
Not so much. I don't like it.
Not as fun?
I spend a lot of time on the couch.
Yeah.
It's hard to breathe down there.
Sure.
I need some air. I need to walk around a little bit.
Right.
And I'm spreading. I'm getting bigger.
Now, do you have any information on this glow after dark breathless scent that you can slip into?
I heard her and Michael Anthony talking about it the other day.
I don't think it's Michael Anthony, but all right.
Mark
go ahead.
Anthony, right there. What are they saying? What's the deal?
Anthony Kiedis. What's
yes.
her name?
That's him, Anthony Kiedis.
Mark Anthony.
Look, after P. Diddy and Ben, I lost interest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah,
first
I got
of
you.
All, P. Diddy. He
worked you out?
Woo! after he was done with me,
yeah.
It was like throwing a hot dog down the hallway.
That's sad.
No.
Once Affleck came along, it was like a stir stick in a highball glass.
I
He ruined me for anybody else, and I don't know anything about this Anthony Kiedis or whatever. She's back.
Right,
now.
Mark Anthony, your husband, right. Yeah. But I think what Kevin's question is, what about what's this Glow promotion all about? How do they make a website, television show or whatever about how people smell? We don't get it. It's
Glow,
a webisode.
Glow is a Glow After Dark is Jenny's new smell.
Right.
Okay.
And it's inspired, actually, by me.
By you, her ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
I glow quite often.
You glow.
Especially after some spicy menudo or some tamales.
Right.
I glow, I burn, I singe. It's like a nuclear reactor down there. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So she got, hey, I got an idea. My ass is burning. Let's glow.
Okay. So that's the scent? I mean, they bottled that somehow?
Yeah. I mean, you know what's in it? Have you smelled any of the scents in it?
Well, no.
No.
Now, they got three different kinds of scents, apparently. The juicy notes, the sexy notes, and the warm notes.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
The names? Okay. And what's the difference between the three scents?
The juicy notes are passion fruit and lychee. The sexy notes are pink peony and orange flower.
Right.
And the warm notes are blonde wood and soft pink must. And I'm telling you, I've been around the soft pink must.
Yeah. Right.
That's nothing you want to bottle.
It isn't. Okay.
No, I'm telling you.
You don't want to put that on.
Is that your neighbor again, J-Lo's ass you're talking about?
Man, I'll tell you. Just talk about Tanina take something for a walk and airing it out.
Oh, really?
Wow, we got to get rid of the vinyl cushions on this couch.
So she says slip into it. That's
No,
okay, all right, just checking.
No, don't go there.
How do you get down there to Macy's and try out for this webisode? How do you glow?
You're asking an ass how to get down to a store?
I'm just saying, this commercial.
I gotta go wherever she goes. I don't know. Get in a car, I guess.
No, but what are you supposed to do for the tryout?
You put on some of this stink water that Jenny's hawking, right. And then they take your picture.
I see.
And then they put you on the website. It's all very exciting.
Okay.
She used to have a career. She used to be somebody.
Right. Yeah. She's a singer, dancer, everything.
Now she's selling freaking toilet water.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to be an ass, quite frankly.
Wow.
That's not good.
But I'm surprised you guys are playing a commercial. You guys are K-Rock,
aren't
you?
Listen. We'll take, I guess, commercials from anyone, obviously.
But with all the commercials you guys play, you guys play a lot of commercials. That's
right.
All I'm saying.
Popular station. A lot of people want to get
sometimes
on to meet the kids.
Your show is just wall-to-wall commercials.
Sure.
I can't imagine you could squeeze in one more commercial in there. And yet, somehow, you found some airtime to be able to air this Jennifer Lopez commercial. I can't believe you guys have the time to do that, to air something by Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
Lisa, you want to do the honors and explain how we're able to do it to J-Lo's ass?
Well, you see, ass, there's always room for J-Lo.
I gotta clear my throat.
No. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What a Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
And another great prize for you this morning for each caller, the complete series of Fox's hit TV show 24, seasons 1 through 5, is what you get on DVD. And don't forget, a new episode comes back as Jack Bauer continues to save the world this coming Monday night at 9 over there on Fox Channel 11.
I think I got to get that. I think I have to get that, that 1 through 5.
So good. So damn good.
Yep. I'm getting on the board late.
Here. I love that show.
He sure has a lot of really bad days,
not
though.
Not really. 6 bad days in a lifetime.
Yeah.
I've had worse days than that.
I don't think you've ever had a worse day.
Not worse days than his bad days, but right. I've had more bad days than 6. The rest of the time is pretty good, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
Except that time he spent in the Chinese jail.
20 months in a Chinese jail.
Yeah, that was fine.
That's not good. That was good. Mike and Chino, good morning.
What it do, booze?
Well delivered.
I don't think so.
Well,
try it again. Try it again.
Well delivered. Try it again.
What
are
you doing,
nephew? There
we go. There you go. Now, Mike's got a hold. We kind of teased his call because he said he had the best dentist visit ever.
No such thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's no category for that. It must have been a hot...
it's a female dentist.
Yeah, a hot assistant or something, right?
It had me pouring sweat and bulging in my pants.
Oh.
Is that right?
Was it the dentist or the hygienist?
I don't know, but all I know is I went to the dentist, and the assistant came out, and when they performed I laid back in that chair, and for you know it, I'm just being smothered with
two of the biggest boobs I've ever seen.
Wow. That's an interesting way to distract your attention from the pain.
You go to the dentist, the porn stars or something?
I don't know, man, but she was hot, man.
We're going to need to get that address of that dentist.
I need a cleaning.
I do, too.
I need some teeth work. Cleaned, too.
Yeah. Dental office in Montclair.
All right. All right. We're
good
in.
Good to know.
Thank you. That's a good tip right there. You don't get that kind of tip every day.
Mm-mm.
Get your pipes cleaned.
All right. Speaking of medical calls, let's go to Isabel in Riverside. Good morning, Isabel.
What it do, nephew and baby boo?
Hey, Isabel.
Much better.
Hi.
What's going on?
I got it down.
What do you got?
There was a Romanian doctor who was doing surgery on a patient, and it was a surgery on his testicles.
Oh.
And he got upset because he cut his, I'm not sure, his urinary channel or something, and he got upset, and he cut the guy's penis off, and then he started to chop it up.
Wait. First of all, I watched the urinary channel. It's an excellent network. But the patient was upset because the doctor nicked his urinary.
No, the
track.
Surgeon was upset.
The surgeon was upset because he messed up.
He
went nuts.
He went Benihana on his ass, on his penis.
Sure did. I started making tacos.
That's not possible.
Yeah, it is.
It's a horrible, horrible surgeon.
It is horrible, yeah.
That's a great story, though. Thank you, Isabel.
Thanks.
You deserve your DVDs. Hold on.
What, did the nurses have to wrestle him to the ground as he was hacking up the penis?
Jeez.
Stop it. I can't take it anymore. Mike in Covina, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
How did you, nephew?
Snoop D-O-double-G. How you doing, man?
I'm back on the block. What do you do, nephew?
There you go.
Sure.
What's going on?
Yesterday afternoon, I was going shopping in Hollywood, walking around, and towards the end of the day, I was going towards my car. You know, I was back alleys that lead to like the parking lot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was walking up, and I heard some noises, and right there between like these dumpsters were these two bums getting it on, like full blown.
Two bums getting it on.
Was it a male and a female?
Yeah, male and female. Like he had her like against the wall. The lady had her pants down. I was just like. I just ran back around. It's the last time I'll ever take a short through the alleys over there.
Homeless porn, right there in front
right
of you.
Right there. Yeah. Wow, that's a whole new thing.
You know, guys, there's someone for everybody out there.
That's one way to look at it.
I guess there is.
And bums need love, too, is the other lesson that we've learned here today.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Robert, who has a question for us. Robert in Anaheim. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, well, I want to propose to my girlfriend and everything, but she's a stripper, and I wanted to know how you guys thought about that.
Well, it's how you think about it, really.
Got a job. Ask away, dude.
Well, I love her and everything, so I think everyone tells me, you know, go ahead and do it.
I'm sure she loves you as well.
Robert, it strikes me that you bring up the question because you may have some reservations about maybe being engaged and later married to a stripper. Do you have some problems with the job?
No, not really. I mean, she has her regulars. She's not one who, like, goes from person to person. She has, like, her regulars and some people from, like, out of town.
Robert, are you a regular and you haven't spoken to her about your love yet and you just taking for granted she loves you?
No. We live together and everything.
Okay, well, I can't hear any reason in what you've given us so far why you wouldn't propose if that's how you feel.
I know, but there's that whole thing of like, well, what are you doing with other guys? This and that.
If you're insecure and nervous about what she's doing with other guys,
then no.
Then don't do that.
The very question, should I ask her, makes it seem like
a red flag right there.
Yeah. You're going to have trouble with that. She's not going to change when she becomes your wife.
Mm-hmm. Nor should she have to, by the way, if she's with the right guy.
Are you worried now about what she's doing with the clientele?
No, she's not doing well. She's not
you
doing
should be, because she really, she's in the back room a lot. You know what I'm saying,
Robert? Champagne room.
Yeah, well, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous person.
Okay, well, great.
Then what's your, I don't understand your problem.
Okay, he's not
being honest with yourself.
He's trying to talk himself into the fact that he's not jealous is what's going on there. He's
right.
Clearly jealous. All right.
Not
it's
everybody,
just
a job, you know, it's just a not job. Everybody should be married to a stripper, though, but for some people, it's fine. It's just that you have to depend on, you know, it depends on what kind of guy you are.
I dated a couple strippers and never had any issue with what they were doing. You have to understand, they do need tips. That's how they make a living.
That's true.
When you know how little strippers think of the guys that they're performing in front of, you never really worry about their conduct again. Because they really don't like
most of
the guys.
Except for Kevin. They love Kevin.
Oh, of course. He has magical allure.
I'm still going to guess that Robert has not talked to her yet, that it's a chick. It's a strip club.
He's thinking about all the time.
He's loving her from afar.
He knows that she loves him. That whole deal.
Maybe he's the DJ there.
I know we're running late, and I know we've got Nick on the phone, but while you bring up the topic,
best story ever yesterday about somebody with unrequited love. A guy who became obsessed with a photograph in the newspaper of a 20-year-old's obituary photo.
What?
Obsessed with a picture.
No.
What do you think he did?
He dug her up.
He dug her up.
Oh!
Yeah.
And he dug with his penis.
He got a group of guys together, and they went to where she was buried and dug her up. And fortunately, as they got down and were getting ready to lift the casket out of the ground, they got discovered, they got caught. But his plan was to dig up the woman, ladies and gentlemen, and have sex with her.
Oh, my God.
That's unrequited love right
there.
That's
a woman. He saw the photo and said, love of my life. Yeah. Gotta have her.
Too gotta
late.
Be with her.
Too late.
If it feels this good, how can it be wrong?
Exactly.
If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
He said, leaving Clown Town and the island. I'm going to catch the ferry, and I'm going to meet the girl I'm supposed to be with. That's what he said.
Is that one of the kooky ever heard, though?
It's a good one.
Seriously.
And he talked his friends into it.
That's
too.
And what? And his brother was one
friendship.
Of the guys.
That's true friendship right there.
His brother was one of the guys who went with him to help dig up the corpse.
His brother was the only guy. He and Robert, the stripper lover. All right.
That is a hell of a story.
Let's go to Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. What a charming lead into me.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It's the all creep hour here on Kevin and Bean Show.
How dare you?
I'm kidding.
It makes Nick look good and well-adjusted, though, if he follows a story like that. Now, all of a sudden, he's upstanding young citizen.
Nick, how's the party coming tonight?
It's coming great. I still got some more shopping to do. Still got some more cleaning to do, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen tonight.
What do you still need to shop for?
I got to get food today. I got to clean up the house. I got to get all the dog crap out of the backyard.
Well, wow. You're selling it.
You got your hands full.
Makes me want to go. Do you have
Smart and Final? I recommend Smart and Final, by the way.
Do you have alcohol yet?
Yes, I do. I bought alcohol.
Do you have more than just beer?
I have beer and hard liquor.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Nick, when we had you on a week ago, when you were kind enough to invite us all to your party tonight, you made it sound like you had a pretty big guest list that you were planning to put together. I was just wondering what your sense has been throughout the last few days in terms of RSVPs. Are a lot of the people that you hoped would come to the party actually going to come through?
I know there's going to be a lot of people. I don't know the exact number because I got people who are kind of like, well, maybe I can come. I don't know if I can make it, but I know there's going to be a lot.
Okay. Hot chicks, you said?
Yes. Definitely.
A lot of hot chicks.
Yes, definitely. I can guarantee that 100%.
Okay.
Wow.
How many hot chicks, Nick?
I don't know. A lot. A lot.
Two?
But is a lot two or is it 20? I mean, what's
okay,
a...
Okay, how about... I'd like to be a guess. How about 20?
20 hot chicks.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, it's hard to pull off.
You also said that your dad was leaving town, but your mom was staying.
Actually, my dad's staying for tonight.
So mom and dad are still going to be there tonight.
Well, I can't just get rid of them. It's like my dad's all worried that, you know, something bad is going to happen in the house. He needs to protect it, you know?
Nice. Sure. So
love,
he's going to be
the chaperone.
He's going to be standing there with a shotgun.
Nick, look, how old are you now, Nick?
I'm 23.
Yeah. You need to say to your folks, love ya, but it will seriously cramp the style of the party if my parents are in the house. Send them to the movies or something.
No,
at least,
I mean,
they should trust you enough to give you a little space.
I want to just get them in the background, just kind of minimize them, and just kind of let them just kind of feel relaxed. And they'll probably go to bed by like...
Sure. That's usually what happens, by 7. You need to go to your mom and ask her how you're supposed to do the Arabian goggles with a hot chick if she's in the house. Ask her that.
You know what, Nick, you can do too, is get a couple of roofies, just dose your parents' drinks, knock them out.
Hey, speaking of which, is your mom hot?
No, what kind of question is that? Is my mom hot? That's disgusting.
Is your mom hot?
Is your mom hot? It's not disgusting for us. It's only for you.
I can't answer that.
She's going to be at the party. She's going to be roofied. I'm just saying.
That's a disgusting, disgusting question.
If I come to your party, the first thing I'm going to do is hit on your mom.
Absolutely.
Are you coming?
Now, do you still want us there?
I want you guys there. In spite of that, I want you guys there.
Yeah.
Nick, how many people are going to be at the party tonight?
50.
50 people. That's a big party.
That's a huge party.
20 of which smoking hot chicks.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Good percentage.
Well, I can't make it, of course, Nick. You know that. I mean, I do have
I
a legitimate excuse. In
I know
the distance.
You'd be here if you could.
Oh, right. Of course
sure.
I would.
Are you
Absolutely.
Kidding me?
Nobody loves a party like
Woo!
Me.
That guy goes
but,
off.
You guys will all be showing up. You'll all be going to Nick's party, right?
Well.
Yeah, I mean, what time does it start, Nick?
Around 8:30.
Oh, 8:30.
Oh,
damn.
What time does it end?
Whenever it wants to end. It'll end like 1, 2, 3 in the morning.
When dad runs after everybody with a shotgun?
No, my dad doesn't believe in violence.
He will well, tonight. Okay. All right, Nick, best of luck. We'll some of us will see you there.
All right, cool. There's going to be people coming here from K-Rock.
Doc, baby.
Doc is guaranteed.
Just laugh. All right. Have a good time tonight, Nick. We'll look forward to hearing all about it next week, okay?
That's cool, man.
All okay. right. All right. Thanks, love you.
Bye, Nick. Yeah.
Thanks. Have a great party with your parents.
I just feel like
if I was a single man, I would so go to that party and I would just nail Nick's mom. I would make it my mission.
I think Carrie would let you do it, by the way, just for the comedy. I think if you asked her, she'd let you.
Of course.
Give me the hall pass.
She's got a great sense of humor, especially for Nick's mom. I mean, come on.
I want to thank our fantastic guest this morning on the Kevin Beach Show.
Oh, my God!
His head would explode.
What are you doing?
I want to thank actor Zachary Quinto, who plays Silo on the Heroes TV show, back with a new episode Monday night at 9 on NBC.
All right.
He'd be starring in Heroes.
He'd be starring.
He'd be starring, exactly.
As Bean would say. Monday morning, details on K-Rock's World Tour 2007 destination number 4 at 7:15 or roughly around that area.
Thereabouts.
We're usually hungover on Mondays, so we can't look at the clock very well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Roll another one.
And make it
just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, this is very sad. I just found out that Nick is going to be using Tammy Heidi's skull as a punch bowl tonight at the party. Oh. That's just, I mean, that's unacceptable.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
Roll. Roll another one.
Marriage one is bad. Good.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
God damn it, I love pot.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
Oh, God, that joint. Just pass it around. Oh, don't hold that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down.
Ahem. May I have your attention, please? This will only take a moment of your time. Although I love this company more than almost anything in the world, I have decided to step down from my post and spend more time with my family. I do not fear the unknown. I will meet my new challenges head on, and I will succeed, and I will laugh in the faces of those who doubt me. It's been a pleasure working with some of you, and I will not forget those of you soon. But remember, while today it is me, we all shall fall. In other words, I'm quitting.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.